Okay, Rabosai. When we last left our heroes, we were trying to figure out the drushes of this Gemara of Bayira and Bayimatze. We dealt with the question of why here you need one lecha for Hekdesh and Goy, while in Menachos, seemingly, you need two lechas or equivalent grammatical constructs. For Hekdesh and Goy, we saw one answer of Tosos. We saw another answer of Tosos. I surmised perhaps another answer for Rashi, which I could not prove. And we saw the Yesh Omer and the Tosos Rush, which was very fine, except for having trouble with the Gemara later on. And we saw the Shagas Aryeh's answer. And the Shagas Aryeh made a brilliant chiluk here. He said, in our circumstance, we are excluding Goy and Hekdesh. Sorry, in the other Gemara, where everything is chayiv, excluding Goy and Hekdesh, so you need two miyutim. Over here, it's not that Jews are chayiv and Goy and Hekdesh is potter. It's that only what belongs to you is chayiv, what doesn't belong to you is potter, and that is only one concept. Okay, why did all the Rishonim, it's such a brilliant chap, why did all the Rishonim not agree with the Shagas Aryeh? We have one of two possibilities. It could very well be that Rashi did not agree with the Shagas Aryeh, right? Saul brought this up, I forget who afterwards. Says the Shagas Aryeh that by Chala, everything is Chayav, except Goy and Hekdesh, that's a double miyut. While by Rabba Yimotze, my ownership is the Mechayev, and that's only one concept, my ownership. If it's not owned by me, it actually makes no difference who it is owned by. That's not the point. The point is that I'm Chayev for what I own, and I'm not Chayev for the rest of the world. Okay, why did all the other Rishonim not say like the Shagas Aryeh? So we have two possibilities. All the Rishonim didn't say like the Shagas Aryeh either. Maybe they just didn't like his logic, but his logic is so good. I don't know, maybe what Rashi holds is that Chala is everything. But Goy and Hekdesh are Potter. And maybe Rashi holds the same thing. Every Chametz is Chayav, but Goy and Hekdesh are Potter. This is the Machlokas Rishonim we had mentioned on Navdalet of an Aleph. Basically, if you remember, we listed all the different Rishonim there. Half of them said, I'm only Chayav and my Chametz in my Rishos. Half of them said, I'm Chayav and my Chametz anywhere. That's Machlokas Rishonim. We'll review those sheets again. They'll be very relevant to Navdalet of an Aleph soon. But only Rashi said, or seemed to say, right, that I'm chayiv even on your chametz, if it is in my rishos. So then he would disagree with the Shagas Aryeh, meaning, what's the sheet of Rashi? How about chametz shel Yisrael acher Yershusi? So all the Rishonim say pater, and the mashmaos of Rashi is that I am Chayav. So according to Rashi, then we understand why he wouldn't give the Shagas Aryeh's answer and why maybe there's some diet in another answer, or if not, Stam, he wouldn't give the Shagas Aryeh's answer because he holds that it's really like Chala. Just like Chala, I can't eat any untithed dough except for Goy and Hekdesh. I can't have any chametz in my house except for Goy and Hekdesh. This Rashi was very radical. Seemed to come out of Rashi here, because Rashi here said, we had two other Rashi's also, but Rashi here said, let me just find the Rashi, Shel Acherim Kigo Nachri. Why do you say Acherim Kigo Nachri? So maybe Acherim here means Goyim. It doesn't mean anyone who's not me. It means a different kind of person. Different kind of person is Goyim. And someone pointed out, well, Rashi says Kigo Nachri. So maybe it means Acherim Ben Yisrael Ben Nachri. He agrees with the other Rishonim. He's just giving an example of Goyim. So that's a common example. Why would a Jew put his chametz in my house on Pesach? But interestingly, there's two gersos in this Rashi. Our Rashi says kigon nachrim, but if you look in Rashi al-Harif, now I know that Rashi didn't write a Pirush on the Rif. But if you look in the scholarly literature, Rashi on the Rif, what someone did is they took all the Rashis, and they took the ones on the lines of the Gemara that the Rif has and put them on the side of the Rif. But the scholarly literature proves that the one who was Malaki, the Rashi on the Rif, was working off a different Girsa and Rashi than the one who put it on the side of Shas. Meaning, in the old days, there were different manuscript traditions of Rashi, and usually the manuscript tradition, Hamadar Shas, is a divergent tradition, or there are two divergent traditions. So if you find a Girsa between our Rashi and Shas and Rashi on the Rif, it's not because the guy who put it on the Rif messed up. It's because the guy who put it on the Rif had a different Girsa and Rashi, and then he just put the Rashi on that line on the Rif. And Rashi on the Rif says, fascinatingly, says, Shalachirim Nachrim. Okay, I understand the Bach wants to add in a word to make it match. That's very nice for the Bach. That's not what it said in the manuscript that this fellow was working off. And not only did the Rashi on the Rif say, Shalachirim Nachrim, but if you look, what Girsa did the, I hope I'm right about this, what Girsa did the Ran have in Rashi? So, he says, Aval Torah Shalachirim Dahainu Nachrim. Shal Gavoa Kigon Shekdisha Lebedek Abais. Okay, that Ran, we know the Derech of the Ran. You know, if you learn Gemara for a year or two, you realize what's the Derech of the Ran. He always starts by quoting Rashi. And, you know, most Ran just start by quoting Rashi, usually word for word. And then he goes on to have a Peirush, you know, in the style of, you know, the Beit Midrash, the Ramban, etc. You know, which would be similar to a Ramban Rashi or a Rifa or an Arbiset, most similar to a Rabbein of David. Who's the only Rishon from that school that we have. We don't have Ramban except for a couple, you know, Rashba. The Ritva is not written by the Ritva. Okay, so in any case, what do you say? Shalachir dahainu nachrim. And where does he get that from? He obviously got it from his version of Rashi, because it's a paraphrase of Rashi. The next word is Gavoy, Kisha Lebed Kapayas, which is taken from our Rashi. And the word beforehand is also taken from our Rashi. So obviously the Ran had a Girsa Rashi of Hainu Nachrim, the Baal Malakit Rashi Alarif had a Girsa of Nachrim, and the person who printed the Shas had the Girsa of Kigon Nachrim. But we see two out of three ancient Girsos of Rashi don't even have the word Kigon. They just say Nachrim, which supports the Gros Pshat, and most Rishonim Pshat, the Pnei Yeshua here says the same Pshat. Many Achronim, meaning, you know, you don't have to even be the Grah or the Pnei Yeshua. Many Achronim say the same Pshat. That Rashi holds, I'm high of a comments of any Jew in my house, and we tied that into the Rashi later on in Daf Vav and the Rashi earlier on Daf Dalet, who are all Meduyik that way, and that's why he would disagree. That might be why, if someone held like Rashi, they wouldn't say like the Shagas Aryeh. That's not going to help for most Rishonim. Most Rishonim don't hold like Rashi, so it was pointed out that, oh, sorry, there's a great riot for Rashi. What's the great raya for Rashi? Just want to point out, this Rashi you're going to say sounds crazy. It doesn't lacha mean yours. Rashi would say no. Lacha means Jewish. But there's a great raya for Rashi on the Gemara a little later on Daf Chav Tesam and Aleph, in the day of Achabar Yaakov. Now, this is going to sound a little weird to you. If it sounds a little weird to you, okay, it's because you don't pass like Achabar Yaakov. But again, Achabar Yaakov, you know, was one of the Amorim. Just because it's weird to us doesn't mean it's not halachically valid shita. What does he say there? He says they're trying to wonder there why the Mishnah says that chametz of a guy after Pesach is mutter. So what does Rachar Yaakov say? He says it's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds there's an issur d'orais of chametz before, during, and after Pesach. The yolof sor dachim sor d'riya ma sor d'riya shal chaya tarav al chatarav shal chim shal kavoa. He says, just like by Rabbi Matzah, he's a heter achirim and gavoa. Likewise, eating chametz, there's a heter achirim and gavoa. And really, not only after Pesach, even during Pesach, you can be nene from the chametz of a guy. Not only can you be nene from the chametz of a guy, you can even eat the chametz of a guy. Theoretically, you can even eat the chametz of a guy on Pesach. But then you get the technical problems, which we're not dealing with now, which is that as you swallow it, it might become chametz of a Jew on Pesach. But taket, at least theoretically, you can eat chametz of a guy on Pesach, according to Rachar Yaakov, because we learn achila from Bayur Abay Matze. Clearly, Rav Achar Yaakov doesn't think you can eat chametz of a Jew on Pesach. The whole point is shel nachmi. Clearly, Rachar Yaakov is not saying you're allowed to eat another Jew's chametz. You're only not allowed to eat your own chametz. By Bayur Abay Matze, you could say the answer is only owning it. By eating, the Isser is eating it. So Rav Achra Yaakov clearly thinks, if he's Yolev Sor Dachila from Sor De Bal Yorabai Matze, whatever his exact phrase is, Yolev Sor Dachila, Misor De Re'ia, then he thinks the Ptur is Davka Goyen Hekdish and not other Jews. Because then he learns that you can eat chametz of goyin. I mean, can't chametz of hekdesh. You can eat chametz of goyin, not of another Jew. So Achra Yaakov mefurish holds like Rashi, right? This is what's the proof? Proof is for Achra Yaakov and Daf Chav Tesam and Aleph, right? Who says that we learn that you can eat a goy's chametz, and obviously he holds you can't eat a Jew's chametz. That also comes out of the Mishnah. So likewise. I can have a goy's chametz in my house. I can't have a Jew's chametz in my house. Mefurish raya for Rashi from an Amora. What's the question? The question is that we don't pass like a Rach Yaakov. So, do we only not pass like a Rach Yaakov in extending from Re'ia to Achila? Rashi would say, we don't pass like a Rach Yaakov. We don't extend the heter. It's a heter of goy. We don't extend the heter to Achila, but that's still what it is by Re'ia. It's a heter of goy. Nothing to do with who owns it. Just a heter of goy. And the other Rishonim would say, no, we don't pass like a Rach Yaakov mikol v'chol. The reason we don't pass, meaning, so why don't we pass like a Rach Yaakov? Because he's wrong in the first place. He thinks that a heter of goy, which then it's shayach to learn to achila. It's never a heter of goy. It's an issur of ownership. And obviously, if there's an issur of ownership, you can't learn that to achila, where the issur is consumption. So that's just two ways to learn. Rav Achra Yaakov, what Rav Lichtenstein said, he always likes to analyze things logically. Rav Achra Yaakov makes two assumptions. A, in Re'iyah, there's an issur with a heter of goy. There's an issur for everyone's comments with a heter of goy. B, we have a Zerah Shavah, a Hekesh, and we learn that to Achiva. Rashi say, we don't pass like him. Rashi would say, we pass like the first step, we just disagree with the second step. The other Rishonim would say, no, we don't pass like him, so we disagree with the first step, and therefore it's not even, we would have agreed to the second step, Lu Yitzir, there had been a first step. It's a good Hekesh, except there's nothing to be Makesh from, because there's never Heter of Goy. So that's a great Chakira. The Chakira to Rashi and the Rishonim is just, how do the other Chachamim respond, and the other Chachamim have a name there. I forget who it is. It's maybe Rava or someone. Rava. How does Rava respond to Rachar Yaakov? That's the Chakira here. Okay. The other Mishnah I'm just going to point out, and this is going to be not our topic now, that they would have to say, no, they're fundamentally the same. It's my ownership that's Machayim in Bali Rabbani Matzei, and my ownership that's Machayim in Chala. And then, the chiddush that would come out of this is, I am only chayav to take challah from my dough. Right? And they're equal. They're both only ownership is machayav you. And you say, oh, but I can't eat your dough without challah either. Okay, I can't eat your dough without challah. But I'm not chayav to take challah. Only you are chayav to take challah. Which is possible. It's an interesting chakira. The Shagas Ari assumes every Jew is chayv te chalof, every Jew's dough, if they want to eat it. And maybe all the Rishonim here would say, no, only the owner's chayv te chalof. As a side effect of the owner's chayv te chalof, Joe Shmo can't eat it. But only the owner's chayv te chalof. So there are two ways to disagree with the Shagas Ari, one of which is very fundamental about the nature of Goy and Hekdesh, and the other which is just challenging his assumptions about challah. Now, here I want to say something which is going to be a chiddush. Which is, maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. You can decide if there's any merit to what I'm saying. But I want to ask the following question. Nachri and Gavoa are nismayit here, right? There's a heter of Nachri and a heter of Gavoa. Is there a difference between Nachri and Gavoa? Is there a difference in Chamech Shal Nachri and Chamech Shal Gavoa? I understand that Goy and Hekdesh are different in many ways, but the Inibar Rabbi Yimatze, is there any difference if I have Chamech of a Goy in my house or Chamech of Hekdesh in my house? Sounds like they're the same, right? After all, let's read the Gemara. Taner Rabbanu Shvus Yom Sori Lomotz Vatecham Atam Alomar Valakvar Nemar Lo Yirol Lachas Or Lo Yirol Chamech Spok Lechol Shenem Lo Yirol Chasor Shal Chayet Or Rabbat Or Rosh Al Chem Shal Gavoa Put a Chem and Gavoa together. Okay, stop me when the tone changes. Yachol Gatmin Mikabel Donos Minan Nachri Talmud Lomar. You forgot to stop. Gavoa. It starts with, what's the steer? Well, what are the two sides of the coin, right? The steer that the Gavoa is going to be Yashu with Kabbalah Christ. On the one hand, Shechai Teralel Tarosh El Chirus El Gavoa. On the other hand, Yachol Yikav Dosen Anachrim Tamal Lomel Yimotze. You can't take the Dosen Anachrim. What is the obvious question that a discerning reader who reads this Gemara starts wondering, is it the heter of Nachrim Gavoa? Does it answer if it don't Nachrim, which the Gemara explains means Kabbalah Sakhrayas, right? Very reasonable explanation of the Raisa. He called it implies Kabbalah Sakhrayas. What does the discerning reader wonder? What about Pikdono Shel Hektish? What about Kabbalah Sakhrayas and Hektish? What's the din of Achrayas and Hektish? Yeah, okay, you could answer as a practical sort of point. When you ever metabol gedolus min hahektish, it's not the craziest thing in the world. The gizbor needs to keep things places, right? Sometimes he needs people to watch stuff. Meaning, it's really, I don't understand. Someone's makdish wood or stones for bedek habayis. So what does the gizbor do? He hires a truck driver to transport it to har habayis. Okay, that truck driver is a shomer sachar. Right? It's not the craziest thing in the world. Unless you want to say that it's only referring to a shoel, and then you can't be a shoel of Hektish. Maybe that's what you get out of it. But A, assuming that, we'll see this next time, that Achrayis includes Shomer Sachar, I assume there are lots of Shomer Sachar. I mean, it's crazy nowadays because we have no Beis HaMikdash, unfortunately. But in the days when there was a Beis HaMikdash, fine, nowadays we're used to going and we're not used to a Beis HaMikdash. So Beis HaMikdash seems crazy. But in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, I assume there were Shomer Sachar in the Beis HaMikdash all the time. Not to mention the fact, how about Neder versus Nedava, right? Harei Zo'ola versus Harei Eliola. If I say Harei Eliola, so I have a Chrayis on that thing. Or calls that a Chrayis in Kotar Kula. So it could be. It could be just not so common. The question is, what's the din of Kabbalas Achrayis from Hektish, right? Kabbalas Achrayis Al-Chametz Shal Gavola. So this is a machlokes achronim. I mean, it's really goes back to Rishonim, that's at least on one side, but the Rishonim don't address it explicitly. No Rishon that I know of explicitly addresses this. The Tzlach here says, that I put in brackets, number 20, he says that Tzlach chayav just like Shel Nachri. Shel Nachri, Shel Gavoa is all the same. Why did the Gemara say Pikdonos ben Anachri not Gavoa? Okay, that was maybe because Gavoa is not so common, although I'm not sure Makabel. He gives a couple answers. The one answer, his first answer is a little tough. He says, well, the Rambam says that the Pikadon is hinting at a case where he forces you to take Achrayis against the law, and Hektish would never force something against the law. It's a little tough. What about legal Achrayis? Okay, you have to have some sort of explanation. And in the end, it's probably just going to come down to what's common. For example, I'd say a little better, unless this is what you meant. Maybe it is common to have a chrayis for Hektish, but it's not so common to have a chrayis for chametz of Hektish on Pesach. Like, why is Hektish giving you chametz on Pesach? Meaning, what's the case? Because I was makdish chametz on Pesach, but a chrayis, like, that's a rare case. No, I don't know. I was makdish like in a neder. Haray alai, haray alai lachmi toda, and I had the chametz. I don't know. I was makdish be'achrayis chametz to bedek habayis, so the gizbor is makdish chametz. I mean, it's less common since hektish. I know hektish is gavoa, but hektish still Jewish, so it's less common for hektish to have chametz on Pesach. Goyim or goyim, of course, goyim have chametz on Pesach, so it could just be less common. I don't know if that's what you meant. Okay, but that's better than what you meant. Seder. Right, and this is not what the Tzlach said. We have to say that there's no diuk from Yekabel Pikdonos Min Hanochri. Right, it's not a good diuk, just a common case. Okay, then if you ask the why to say Yekabel Tarosh El Chirim Shel Gavoa, it's not a common case, somehow you work it out. Right, however, there are three reasons, two of which are substantive, why you might think that you're potter on a chrayis of Hektish. What are the three reasons, right? Maybe you are potter, unlike Nachri. Number one is the diuk from Yekabel Pikdonos Min HaNachri. After all, it's a pretty good deal, because what are you going to say? He said, oh, it's not common. So why was it common in the Russell Shem Shokaval? Why is the Heter common and the Isra uncommon? Okay, maybe it's uncommon with Achrayas, common without Achrayas. You're going to have to come up with some dachuk answer, or maybe someone brilliant will come up with some non-dachuk answer. But I'll be cautious, it's a good deal. You have two things, and then the next line you only have one of them left. But that's a deal. That's not a substance. There are two substantive reasons. Number two is the Yerushalmi. It's a mafurish Yerushalmi in Pesachim that says one day says shall go. One bryce says gavoa is usher. One bryce says shall gavoa is mutter. What's the yishuv to these two bryces? Says the Yerushalmi. Ah, this is Rabbi Shimon holds davar gon lomim kamom and dummy, and this is the Chachamim holds davar gon lomim is lav kamom and dummy. What does that mean? According to the Chachamim, who's the mainstream daya, who the chora we paskin like? You're allowed to take a pikachu. Dover Gorn the Mammon obviously means a Christ. Gorn the Mammon means it only lose money. It means I'm a Christ. So clearly, Yerushalmi is talking about a Christ and says, Lofi Chachamim, you're Potter. And our yards would force Lofi Chachamim, you're Chayef. So the Yerushalmi is Mefurash, Lofi Chachamim, you're Potter. And our Gemara says, Lofi Chachamim, you're Chayef, not a Nachri. So according to the Chachamim, forget Rabbi Shimon. But according to the Chachamim, the majority opinion, you're Chaya for becoming the Nach, Kabbalah on Christ, Menachri, Potter for Hektish, Mefurish Raya Hektish, different than Nachri. And number three is a Machlokas Rishonim. The Gemara in Daf Vav and Aleph says, I'll just read you one line. We're not going to get into it yet, although we've gotten into it so many times. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, we're on the second time reading for this Gemara without actually getting to all the Rishonim yet. Chentosh ol Nachri also lo mechitza asar tfach misham heker v'im shel Hektish u'enu tzarech. My time amidol v'inuyei. Chametz of a guy, you have to put a mechitz in front of. Chametz of Hektish, you do not have to put a mechitz in front of. You can just leave it going in your house on Yontif, and you're not worried someone will accidentally eat it. Why not? Because in the beginning, everyone's already wary of Hektish. No one's going to eat Hektish. Meaning, even all year long, people are careful not to eat Hektish. So no chash, they'll eat it on Pesach. Because, you know, in the old days, properly, people were really scared of Hektish. And again, properly so. Okay, so it's a machlokes rishonim. What is this Bryce, this Maimra talking about? Is it talking about with Achrayus or without Achrayus? Basically, let's summarize. Rashi says without Achrayus, Rabbeinu Chananel says with Achrayus. Okay, I mean, Rabbeinu Chananel is elucidated by the rishonim. It's a 50-50 machlokes rishonim. Seder Gomel, right? 50-50 machlokes rishonim, whether it's with or without Achrayus. If it's with Achrayus, then all of a sudden, what did it just say? You can keep chametz of a guy in your house without covering it, just goloi, even with achrayus, because no one will eat it. They're mental b'dili. Fine, no one will eat it. What about by Rabbi Yotze? So according to half the Rishonim, right? Davav amen aleph lefi hamefarshim demayri bekabalas achrayus says shel gavoa is mutter. Shel goy, you have to build a separate house for it, because it can't be in your house. Shel gavoa could be in your house. So we have one diok and two rayas. That, even though Kabbalah Sachrayas is an isra raisa by a guy, by chametz of a guy, it's heter gomer by chametz of gavoa. What will the tzlach say to these three rayas? Well, the tzlach say to these three rayas? The tzlach will say, all right, they'll just say, no, there's no diok. After all, a diok can always say, it's not a good diok. There's some other reason this is a common case. This is a good example of one thing. What do you say about the Yerushalmi? You would have to say the Bavli disagrees. Yet he doesn't say any of this. After all, what do you ask? Is the Bavli Yerushalmi? Maybe the Bavli disagrees. For all we know, the Yerushalmi holds that the Chachamim also think it's much of a Kabbalah Achrayus from a guy. And the Bavli think it's also Asur Kabbalah from Hektish. I mean, say, oh, the Yerushalmi mattered Hektish, and the Bavli Asur Goy. Could be the different Hektish and Goy. Could be no. The Yerushalmi mattered everything, and the Bavli answered everything. Right? Bavli, Yerushalmi, Bavli doesn't have to be with Yerushalmi. And this one, he'll have to say that he holds like the other Rishonim, like the other Pshat. You're right. If you hold Rabbi Yehuda Merav is talking about Golas Achrayas, then the Tzlach is dead. But the Tzlach will say, I hold like Rashi, that is talking about without Kabbalah Achrayas. Okay, but you see how that Tzlach can save himself, but there's not according to Old Rishonim, and he's going to have to be Nivchak. The Pashup shot is that there's no problem with Kabbalah Achrayas and Hektish. In which case, the question becomes, And who comes to this conclusion, right? We have the Rishash and the Kovetz Shiurim, etc. And a whole bunch of Achronim. Again, the Rishonim, I haven't seen that they jump on this issue. The question is the Svara. What's the Svara to be mechalik between Goy and Hekdesh? After all, Shachav, Loshal, Chirim, Aval, Tarashal, Chirim, Shal, Yabal. Why should we mechalik between Goy and Hekdesh? So, what's the Svara? That's what we want to know. What is the Svara? Okay, the Svara lechalik. So what did the Rishash say the Svara was?
Wherever Hekdesh is, it becomes a Mokum Hekdesh.
Ah, he based himself on this line from the Rishonim, which is Mokhrev to be true. Right? It has to be true. It's definitely almost all the Rishonim say so. I think you have no choice but to admit. If I can become from a Goy and a Kabbalah Chrayas. What if I'm an insurance company? I take a Chrayas, right? I'm an insurance company. The Goy insures his business. It happens to be a cake business or a liquor business or a beer brewery or whatever it may be. But I am insuring, taking a chrayas for coming to the Goy. Is that a problem? No, say the Rishonim. There's no problem taking a chrayas for coming to the Goy. The problem is if I have the Goy's coming to my house and I take a chrayas, that's a problem. But if I take a chrayas for coming to the Goy in the Goy's house, that's okay. Right? An insurance company is okay in the Goy's house. It's only us, sir, if it's a pikadon in my house. So, says the Rishash, he says one chav. He says, hold on a second. When it comes to me and a guy, my house is my house, his house is his house. When it comes to me and Hashem, everything is his house. Hashem ha'aretz ha'meloa, right? Hashemayim kesiv ha'aretz adom raglai. Says the Rishash, every place belongs to Hashem. And therefore, when I take a chrayas on, theoretically, it would be usher to take a chrayas on the chametz of Hekdesh in my house. But there's never a case of chametz of Hekdesh in my house, because wherever it is in Hashem's house, because he owns the world. Okay, this is a bit of a chiddush, because, after all, we know Hashem owns the world on a certain level, but people also own things on a certain level, right? On the level of Choshen Mishpat, you know, I know Hashem owns the world, but in Choshen Mishpat, that doesn't seem to come across on the pages of the Shulchan Aruch. There's a bailam. I own my house. And so if a Hekdesh thing happens to be sitting there, what's the Rishash saying? If I put my bicycle in my house, I own my house. Because after all, the level of Choshen Mishpat, I own it. But if I put a box of Hekdesh in my house, now that's Ma'orer, the Bibles of Hashem, and we view it as this is Hashem's house. When I put my bicycle there, it's my house. When I put Hekdesh there, we view it as Hashem's house. Wherever it is, it's in Hashem's treasure house. Now, that is a line he's quoting from Kulin. But in Kulin, it has nothing to do with who owns a house. It's just some phrase. So that's the Rishash says. It's a big Kiddush. The Kiddush is that when there's Hekdesh, when a guy puts a box in my house, say, it's my house. It's just the guy's box. I didn't give him the house. I'm only holding his box. But when the Hekdesh box of stuff is in my house, then since Hashem really owns the world anyway, Hashem owns the world anyway, and his box is sitting there, so we see it as his house. And therefore, you can never have a hechitimtzi, theoretically it's the same, you never have a hechitimtzi of taking a chrayus on coming to a of a Hekdesh in my house.
Is it?
I don't remember that. You mean because the Gemara in Chulin makes that chaluk?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I don't remember in what stage of the Shaktan Tari had said that line. But you know, if the Rishash has to, he can be Mokum or Holgum or his Kachim is Beach. I know he's then against Rashi. Okay, but keep in mind, he's not within Rashi anyway. He's starting with the other Rishonim of Davav, and not with Luti Mei, so he's not necessarily down to Rashi. So it's not the the end of the world. What does it say here? And you're wrong anyway. When Shmuel says this, he's talking about Bedekabais. Now you can say we don't hold like Shmuel, but Shmuel says this line about Bedekabais. not if that was there. That was Mazbeach, they thought that even before he said that line. Okay, so what's one svara is the Rishash? Says the Rishash that Kol Hecha De'isa Be'gaza. Be'gaza means an otsar, a treasure house. De'rachmana Isa. And therefore, what he means is it's Domeh Le'kabbalah Sachrayus Al Chemso Shel Goy. The Veso shall goy, which is not a problem. Okay, so that explains the Gemara. Theoretically, it should be us or just like by a goy, but it can never happen because by definition, wherever Kedish is Hashem's house, not my house, and if it's Hashem's property and Hashem's house, and all I do is take a chrayas, that's not an isser. That's like being insurance for a goyish factory, for a goyish brewery. That's okay.
But isn't Rosh Hashanah saying this even without accepting a chrayas? That it becomes conferred on the Jew.
He said, you know, with or without a crisis in the because of the Rahmana, but he's using it to answer about crisis. He says, did Morty give us the Rashash here? Yes. What does he say? He says in the Ran, he quotes the Ran as the main, he quotes the Itter and the Ramban. Okay, the Itter and the Ramban says that this dogma is Kabbalah Sachrayas. And if it's Kabbalah Sachrayas, then why is there Heter for Hektish? No, he's talking about with Kabbalah Sachrayas.
He says, "Who Kibel Achrayas Alchemso?"
That's what I said. Kibel Achrayas.
No, not Kibel. The Kibel. It says if he accepted Achrayas.
It's Bershus Gavoa, meaning he was Makabal Achrayas on Chemso Shel Gavoa, but Veso Shelo. But it says if it's Veso Shel Gavoa, the Ki is not going on Kibel Achrayas. The Ki is going on Beveis Gavoa, which is like six words later. That's Rosh Hashvi. Rebbe Chanan said something very clever, which we'll come back to. Then says Rebbe Chanan, he says, well, there's two cases of, there's two kinds of Kabbalah Sacharias. He says, if by Kabbalah Sacharias you mean the truck driver that the Hectus is mafkid to you, then he doesn't have an answer. But he says, Kachim, the Rishami is talking about Kachim Shechai Bachriyusan. And you could make the deal, this not really going to help for the deal. It's going to help for the Rishami, and it's going to help for the Bachri. Kachim Shechai Bachriyusan means, everyone remembers the difference between Neder and the Dava. I didn't say Hare Zo, I said Hare Alai, which means I'm responsible to repay it. So what did the Kobashir says? He says that the Rishami and the Gemara and Daf Vav and Aleph, is not his main concern. Are dealing with Chodshim Shechayav Ba'achriyusan, not Pikadon. Again, it doesn't answer. I don't think it answers the Diyuk. It doesn't answer the Diyuk from the Bryce and Dafhaim and Bays. Okay, but a Diyuk is not the end of the world. It's the Gemaras that say things that are more pressing. He says, they're not dealing with, it's not a difference between Hekdish and Goy. It's a difference between two kinds of responsibility. One kind of responsibility is, I am a paid watchman and I'm responsible for the object. The other kind of responsibility is, I was makdish this with a neder of Harei Alai, and if anything happens to it, I still have to pay my neder. Okay. Which kind of responsibility is more connected to the Chefza? The responsibility I'm watching and I'm responsible to pay if anything happens, or that I owe a karba to Hektish, and if this gets destroyed, I still have to bring a karba. Which of those two gives me more of a connection to the Chefza? The Neder or the Pikadon? The Pikadon, why? Think about this. A Pikadon means I am agreeing to watch this and be responsible for it. My achrayas stems from the chefza. In a neder, my achrayas stems from the neder. In kachir shechayam b'achrayusan, my achrayas doesn't stem from this chefza. Let's imagine again. I pledge lachmei toda, right? Let's say, which are chametz. Okay, again, it's going to be weird actually getting the scenario to work out, but whatever it is, I pledge to bedek habayis. I pledge, you know, a crate of expensive scotch to Bedeker Weiss. Right? I mean, obviously they'll sell it and they give the money to fix up the Beis HaMikdash, etc. Right? But I pledge it with a Hari Alai. Right? Hari Alai, you know, a Hari Alai, I promise to give a crate of the finest scotch to Bedeker Weiss. And then I say, here's the crate. So I'm still high. If anything happens to it, I still owe a crate of scotch. Or I pledge to give $1,000 worth of things to Bedeker Weiss, and then I'm not just this crate of scotch. If anything happens to it, I still owe the neder. But why do I owe the money? I owe the money because of this chefza? No, I owe the money because of my neder. If this chefza makes it based on Mikdash, I'm positive for my neder. If not, I'm still high my neder. Says the Rav Elchanan's a lamed, right? He's a brisker. He says, practically, two situations called Shmira, let's call them Shmira, and Neder are equivalent. Why are they equivalent? I better take care of this Chefza, and if anything happens to the Chefza, I have to pay. I lose money. But I'll be lumdus on the inside, under the hood, they're totally different. In Shmira, the reason I have to pay money is because of my relationship with this Chefza, is because I am responsible for this Chefza. That's why you're like Matze. In Neder, the reason I have to pay money if I lose the Chefza is because I have an outstanding Neder on me. I have to pay money because of the Neder. I don't pay money because of the Chefza. The Chefza is a Ptor for money. The Neder is the Mechayev. But in Shmira, the Chefza is Mechayev me the money. So says Rav Elchanan, the difference is not between Hekdesh. Here we have, what does he say? A technical difference for the Rishash between Hekdesh and Goyim. What's the technical difference? Who owns the world? For Rav Elchanan, no, this is a fundamental difference. There's a fundamental difference. But it's not between Hekdesh and Goyim. It's between Achrayos Dishmira and Achrayos Dineder. And he's just Mokim the Rishalmi and the Gemara Daf Vav. The Rishalmi is mainly what he's talking about, as Achrayus the Neder, which makes sense. Stam Kodshim Achayim Achrayus, because of a Neder, not because I'm a truck driver for the Gizbar for Bedeker Weiss. One second, and especially if we assume that Kabbalah Achrayus is only Fee of Onsim, then you can never have it as Shmira for Hektish, because you can't be Shol for Hektish, you can only have it as a Neder. And what's the difference? The difference is, what's he trying to say here? I'll let you give him a box. Achrayus the Shmira. The chiyuv achrayus flows from the chefza, but in achrayus the neder, it flows from the neder, and therefore, when I have a chiyuv achrayus that comes from the chefza, that's value rabbi matzei. After all, this chefza is worth this chefza is machayiv me money. I have a monetary relationship with this chefza over here. That's not by Rabbi Matzei. What do you mean? I'm not chayiv because of this chefza. I'm chayiv because of my neder. And that's Rabbi Chanan's chap. Hold on a second. You just tripped yourself up. I don't mean from the chefza, like the chefza itself emanates rays of chiyuv. How did you say it? Oh, because I agree that I paid for the chefza. Right there, he just said the chiyuv flows from the chefza. The chiyuv flows in the fact that I made myself a certain deal with this chefza. As opposed to neder, I made myself a neder that I owe something to Bedeker Weiss having nothing to do with this chefza. So I don't mean literally it flows from the chefza. I mean it flows from my relationship with the chefza. The chiyuv of the achrayus, a shomer has to pay because of his relationship he forged with the chefza. In the neder, I have to pay because of something I said to Hashem having nothing to do with the chefza. No, by the dover, there is no achrayus, so there's nothing to talk about. It's obviously mutter. Right? If I say harei so hektish, then there's no achrayus, then the kuleam is mutter. You don't even get into the tzlach versus the other achrayus. Okay, now here's what I wanted to say. I wanted to say that the kovash yirim and the rishash have good rayos. But the Rishash is a big finish, which I'm not sure I'm makabel. Rav Elchanan is also a big finish. Maybe I can makabel the lundus. It's hot and attractive lundus, but you know he doesn't answer the deal. because he admits it's also being kabbal pikdonos mehektish, because that's a chiv shmira. Although, actually, hold on a second. No, I have a better vart. Maybe you can answer the dirk like this. Isn't there a p'tur shmira of hektish? Right? Wasn't that on the Makoros? Daf nun vav and vav metzia? There's no chiv shmira for hektish. Right? So, if I'm a trucker, I'm for hektish, I'm actually not chayv in the name of Aviyah. Because there's a p'tur shmira of hektish. Right, Mishnah, Bav Metzia, Daf Nun Vav, quoting to you word for word. So maybe the truth is that's the best way out of this deal. Just say, you know why it doesn't say Pikdonos Min Ha Hektish? Because Pikdonos Min Ha Hektish are a Pikziris and Kosanav Noah Christ. So you say, what about a Pikdonos Min Ha? Now, okay, here we get a little tricky. Say, how about Min Ha Nochrim? Right, do you have a Christ? How about Min Ha Nochrim? Okay, so you have to deal with that. But maybe that's the tzlach meant. Now I understand the tzlach. I quoted the tzlach before and I didn't understand. Now I see what it means. Really, there's no chi of shmir for, there's no chi of achrayis for hektish or for nachri. Because it's only, ish over yehu. Right? However, by a goy, at least there could be a case of some extra legal achrayis based on the goyish legal system, based on the goyish expectation, etc. By the hektish would just stand by the halacha. Okay. So it's not really such a good deal. And now we understand why it's not a good deal, because Taka, you can take a bikkurim from a hektish, so there's no kabbalas achrayis al pidin. And why would you make a deal to be b'chayiv achrayis shalol pidin for hektish? Meaning that's not a common thing. Well, as opposed to a guy, you might say, no, I want you kabbal achrayis. Okay, great. So now I have no problem with kobe shir, but nonetheless, I want to say maybe there's a third shot. Why do I want to say the third shot? Because it could be that there's a fundamental difference, not the way Rabbi Chanan says. Maybe there's a fundamental difference between Goy and Hektish. Again, the Rishash says there's a technical difference in Goy and Hektish. The Rabbi Chanan says the fundamental difference between two kinds of Achrayas, which one happens to be common in Hektish, one happens to be common in Goy. But I want to say maybe there's a fundamental difference. See?
Yeah, just a question. Maybe you should have asked before, but why at this stage are we assuming that the couple of Sakharas is here? If they wanted to make that something at this point in the deal,
no, the Gemara says that's what the Brisa meant. So if that's
wrong,
I know.
Maybe
so
later on we're close there. Meaning, this whole discussion is only in is at a time.
No, No. I mean this discussion in the end. There's nothing in my discussion that's dafk at the beginning. I mean this discussion in the end. But it doesn't matter. The Gemara is refarish the Brisa in the end. When they refarish the Brisa, it has to work in the Brisa. The Gemara doesn't say Kabbalas Achrayis is a separate line. The Gemara says that's what the Brisa meant. So I'm making a diuk in the Brisa, Lefi Pirush HaGemara. Right? The Gemara says that's what the Brisa meant. Now, I'm going to say...
Can I suggest something?
Yes.
The Ran in the beginning, in the Chidush, in the beginning of the Masecht, and also the Ralbag and his Pirush on the Torah, say that the Yisra Ba'yura Ba'yimotze is basically a gzera that the Torah gave so you wouldn't eat. And then it's implicit in the Gemara that the difference between Hegdash and Nochri is that by Hegdash, you're not afraid that he'll eat the chametz.
Mivdol b'dilimine. Yeah, but the problem is that since we're talking about Kabbalas Achrayis, this becomes very difficult. Now you'll say it's not your fault, it's the Ran and the Rabbag's fault. But my problem is this. If I have Mikodin Megoy, it's Mutter. But if I'm Mekabal Achrayis, it's Asr. Mitzad Shem Yavla Achol, it's very difficult. Why would I be more likely to eat the Mekabal of a Goy if I was Mekabal Achrayis? It seems a little strange. So
well,
if you want to...
For a different reason.
What different reason?
I don't know. You have to think about it. But
okay, so I think once we have a different reason, so I hear what you're saying, but once we have to have a different reason anyway, that already caused me to be hesitant. I hear your tiny, interesting tiny. I'm dealing now in a derisa level of the Ran who says, by your blood, seems Xavier. The only problem is that once we're within the realm of Kabbalas Achrayis, it becomes a little tricky. Maybe you could say, no, if I'm a Kabbal Achrayis of the Goy, I'm more likely to eat it because I'm a topple with it more. If I'm not a Kabbal Achrayis, I'm a topple with it less. I'm less likely to eat it. But Hektish, I'm always moved over the Elimine. Maybe it becomes tricky. Now, what to do with Iran? Okay, you're right. Maybe let's put I'll pee the Iran. Mivdol the Elimine. But how to justify that run in terms of to Kabbalah Sachrayas, it's Sarech Ion, Bechlal, Ma Inyan, Kabbalah Sachrayas, Eitzel, Xeras, you know, Xera, Atu Achila. So you're right. If we view it all as Xera, Atu Achila, then just say Kabbalah Sachrayas. That's why it doesn't apply to Hektish. The fundamental difference between dealing with Hektish and Gaudi in terms of whether you're likely to eat it. I just don't know how to fit likely to eat it into Kabbalah Sachrayas in the first place. No, or a neder. He's envisioning a neder. That's on that shmira. That's on that shmira. Shomachina shomersach. He's envisioning neder. Okay.
I mean, could we suggest possibly that for hekdesh, the union of shlichus yad, hekdesh is meila, but in the case of a goy, there's a question about whether it's even gezel. So that's the difference between them. In the case of Goy, you may have a relationship to it because it may not even be Gezel. In the case of Hekdesh, it's circumnavigated by Me'ila.
Again, you still have to figure out, how Kabbalah Sachrayas fits into this. Like, why is there more of a Zera to Achila by Kabbalah Sachrayas than without? Maybe you could do it. I hear the Taina. Maybe you could. Okay, I'm Moda. Maybe you could say it's all about how likely you are to eat it. By a guy, if you're a Kabbalah Christ, you're more likely to eat it than if you're not, even though that's a psychological chiddush. And by Hekdesh, you're never likely to eat it. It's not so clear. Meaning, if I'm a dishonest guy, before we're talking about a dishonest fellow, unless you're talking about forgetting. If I'm a Kabbalah Christ, then I treat it like my stuff, because I'm always very careful with it. Then I might forget and think it's mine and eat it. If I'm not the Kabbalah Christ, I treat it like I have nothing to do with it, and I won't forget it. You could do it psychologically. It depends if you're talking about on purpose or by accident, right? Chas v'shalom, shir yisro, lasa avla, no one ever do anything on purpose. I don't know. Where did you grow up? Tinek. Okay, so you should know that, you know, we wouldn't do these things on purpose.
Rebbe.
Let me say mine, yes.
Rebbe, when the Tzlach commented, made his comment, so he even cited the Rambam that even through coercion, Chomet Shel Goy is Chayev. And there's nothing the Kabbalah, that's even, doesn't need it willfully, has no plans of eating it, right, he's not going to touch it.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. So, it's interesting. Like, the Goy coerced me to take a Chayev, I'm more likely to eat it. Okay, don't know. Anyway, let's go to what I want to say. I would say something a little more abstract than Lundish. The Yerushalmi in... Okay, I'm not smart enough to know diyukim in obscure Yerushalmis. But Rav Lechstein once, when he was discussing the relationship between Goy and Hekdesh in general, pointed to the Yerushalmi in Challah, which is very complicated. Let me just distill it. If a ger converts, is he chayav in Challah or not if he's in the middle of baking bread? Right? So we paskin like the Chachamim. It depends. B'shas Gilgal. Gilgal means kneading the dough, right? When you mix the water with the flour. When the flour and water get mixed, that's called Gilgal. B'shas Gilgal, if he was a Goy, B'shas Gilgal is Potter. If he was a Jew, B'shas Gilgal Chayev. Says Rabbi Kiva, no, Krima B'taner. Even if he converts before it crusts in the oven, before it bakes, he's still Chayev. Meaning, if you're Jewish, B'shas Krima, Krima's Panim, crusting, you're Chayev. Says the Gemara, no, but Rabbi Kiva admits that you're chayv in challah b'shas Gilgal. What does that mean? Before you understand, Rabbi Kiva thinks if you're Jewish b'shas Gilgal, you're chayv in challah, or if you're Jewish b'shas krima b'tana, you're chayv in challah. As long as you're Jewish at some point in the process, you're chayv in challah. Okay, that's Rabbi Kiva. We don't pass like him. That's Rabbi Kiva. However, says Rabbi Hila b'shem Rabbi Blazer. Now I ended the show with three dots here. Continuation of three dots, it could be that Rav Kana argues on Rav Blazer, or it could be that he doesn't. That itself might be too dangerous in Yerushalmi. It's very complex. But what does Rav Blazer say? Hekdesh is different. Rabbi Akiva's motive that Hekdesh, Bishas Gilgal, is Pater. Even if it was Hedyot, Bishas Krima B'taner. In other words, what's the point here? Let me just make a little box for this. Here we have Gilgal. Here we have Krimas Panim Mataner. If it was Goy and Yisrael, it's Chayiv. If it was Hektish and let's call it Yisrael, Pater. What's the point? When it comes to a Goy, if you're Jewish part of the time, what a part of the time? Not when it's flour. Not after it's baked sitting on the table. Part of the time of the bread making, meaning from Gilgal to the Krimas Panim, or maybe Gilgal or Krimas Panim, right? If you're Jewish at part of the Mechayev, you're Chayiv and Chala. When it comes to Hektish, if it's Hektish at part of the Mechayev, you're Pater. So why does Rabbi Akiva think this? Why does Rabbi Akiva think that, like, if you're like, you know, part of the time Chayiv, part of the time Pater, going in Jew, you end up being Chayiv. Hektish and Hegyot, you end up being Pater. What's the Svara? The Svara is Pashat. The svar is Pashat. The svar is that he thinks of the fundamental difference between Goy and Hektish. What's the svara? Again, he doesn't say the svara. Rekiva doesn't say anything. It's the Gemara saying, on Rav Lazer saying on his behalf. Who, again, we don't pass like Rekiva. A, we don't pass like Rekiva. B, in the Rishalmi, we don't necessarily pass like Rav Lazer. And maybe we don't pass like the Rishalmi. I'm not saying this proves how we pass it, but it definitely proves there's such a sheet out there. The svara seems to be pashut, that a nachri is a lack of mechayiv. Hektish is a poter. Even though are we so seichem, one to be my nachri, one to be my hektish, they're not the same. There's a difference among us between them. There's no ptur of goy. It's just you have to be Jewish to be chayiv. So if you're Jewish at some point, you're chayiv. But hektish is poter. Goy is just a lack of a mechayev. What happens if you have a lack of mechayev today? Well, maybe I'll have a mechayev tomorrow. Let me try again to find a mechayev. As long as you get a mechayev in there someplace, you're okay. There's nothing about goy which excludes chala. Just only Jews are chayev and chala. However, when it comes to hektish, hektish is a poter. What is hektish? Hektish is not like goy. A goy is the same as you and me. Regular human society and economics and what have you. And just that I'm chayev in the Torah and he's not chayev in the Torah. Right, I'm chayiv in 613 mitzvahs, so he's chayiv in 7. So he's a lack of chiyuv. Hektish, it's also lack of chiyuv, right? Hashem is not chayiv in the 613 commandments. He gave them, he didn't receive them. But it's more than that. Hektish is not ka. Hektish is beyond this realm. Hektish is out of this world. Right? A hektish is really a goy's bread is the same as a Jew's bread. So then a Jew has mitzvahs and a goy doesn't. A hektish bread is not the same as my bread. A hektish bread is not even bread. It's a different kind of object. It's a different realm. It belongs in the heavens, not on earth. Right? Hektish is mufka from regular human activities and halach. So maybe that's the point of this Rebbe Lazer in the Yerushalmi within Shita Rebbe Akiva. Hektish is a ptur. So if it's ever hektish or putter. I'll just point out that Yerushalmi and Maestros has this parallels Yerushalmi and Maestros that makes a difference between Hefker and Goy. Hefker is not a poter from Chala, but it could be that Hefker is a poter for Maestros because the local philosophical Talmud Mitzvah's reason behind Maestros, they got to the Pasuk, while Goy is just lack of Chiyav, I ain't showing Yerushalmi getting a Maestros, it's a very powerful thing, but that's not for us now. For us now, Hektish is a poter, it's Mafkia from the Geder of everything. Hektish is a different realm. Goy is just a lack of mechayev. And now I think that is also, you could be medayik that in the Mishnah Bava Metzia. What did the Mishnah say in Bava Metzia Daf Nun Vav? It's fascinating. Elu devarim she'en lahem ona'a. What are the devarim she'en lahem ona'a? What are the devarim she'en lahem ona'a? Avadim shtaros karkos hekdeshos. Avadim shtaros karkos are chetzes that are mufka from ona'a. Hektashos. What is hektashos? Is hektash a chefza that's putter, or is hektash a party to the transaction that's putter? After all, then also no one offer a goy. Why does it say avadim shtaros karkos hektash and goy? The answer is because no. It's not talking about who doesn't have onah. It's on which objects don't have are mufka. And hektash is an object that's mufka. Rashi there says even if one head yot sells his ola to another head yot, there's no onah, because it's hektish. Now, there's a lot to say in that Rashi, maybe. It doesn't literally mean. Maybe when a hedyot sells for a hedyot, it's really hektish. But, and the Rambam is just fascinating. Says the Rambam in Halacha Zayin of Perek Yud Gimel, Ha'akam ein lo hona. There's no hona for a guy. Then he says, these are the dvarim that don't have hona. Hakarkos, avodim, vashtaros, vakdishos. What does he say? Hektish is a dovershing hona. Guy is a person who doesn't have hona. Meaning, now you might have thought it's all the same thing. Rambam says, well, hektish is ishes achiv. Sorry, ishes achiv, not a guy, and re'ehu, not hektish. Okay. I might have said the same thing. No, you need 2 minutes. Two lechaz, two arbus mosechet, two words out. But they're all the same idea. Says the Rambam implies they're not all the same idea. One is that the gavra, the halacha doesn't apply to this gavra. The other is that no, this chefza is mufka from onav. Basically, we have a few hints. Number one, when it comes to hala, we have a sheet of Rabbi Lazer in the Rishali that there's a difference in Goy and Hektish. And when it comes to Ona'a, the Lashon from the Mishnah down to the Rambam seems to differentiate between Goy and Hektish. A Goy doesn't have Ona'a, like he's Gavra, he's not bound by the rules of Ona'a, one direction or the other. Hektish is a thing that's Mufla. It's not a regular thing, right? Hektish is a Ptur Hefza. And that would work here also. Hektish is a Ptur Hefza. Once you're Megalgal, Hektish this, a Hefza, Hektish is Potter. Goy is just, the Goy is not Chayev. Hektish, the Hefza is Mufka. Guy, just the guy's not chayef. Let's take this back to our sugya. Maybe you could say, based on these two precedents, maybe you could say, I know they look the same, but they're really from two different limudim. Maybe it's a lecha lecha. Maybe if there's no lecha lecha here, it's not seichem or seichem there, and that's gilui milsa, but it's really as if there are two limudim in kol terkula. Or maybe it's rashi el chamish. Two totally different limudim. But this is obviously, if we assume, like anyone except for Tosfos and Raskol Aval. Tosfos and Raskol Aval says there's never two limudim. If there's never two limudim, it's hard to say it's Vedinim. I don't believe it's Vedinim without two makoros. Okay, but if we say there are two miutim somewhere, the two miutim could be by Chala. I'm not saying this is only by Raya or by Matze. I'm saying this chala could apply to chala also. This chala could apply to anything. As long as there are two miyutim somewhere, you could say two miyutim but one lundus, two examples of the same lundus, or two miyutim of two different lunduses. Maybe you could say that hektish is a tor hefza, right? Like the Gra says for Rashi. Hektish is a tor hefza, but nachri is just a lack of Mechayev, of the Gavra, right? Back to, for example, Rashi versus everyone else. Is it that I'm high for everything that was a Tor Hefza and Goy and Hektish, or that I'm only high for mine? Because otherwise, there's no Mechayev. The answer might be Tzvei Dinim. I'm only high for mine. If it's a Goy, I'm not Chayev, right? Or I'm only high for Jewish. If it's a Goy, I'm not Chayev. But Hektish is a Tor Hefza. Maybe Hektish needed to be a Ptur Hefta, maybe it didn't need to be a Ptur Hefta. Hektish is Mufka as a Hefta. Hektish items are not regular chametz. Hektish items are not subject to human society, are not subject to human lifestyle, are not part of our human life. A guy is the same as you and I, but since I don't own it, I'm Potter. So if you say a guy is a lack of a chayim, but Hektish, the Hafka of the Hefta, a Hektish chametz is a heavenly being, not a loaf of bread. It looks like a loaf of bread, but it's really not a loaf of bread. It's really a kedusha. A guy's loaf of bread is a loaf of bread. It's just, it's not my loaf of bread, I'm Potter. Then it makes perfect sense. A guy is a lack of a chayim. It's a loaf of bread. Just, it's not my loaf of bread, so I'm Potter. But if I make it a little bit my loaf of bread, it's not a half my loaf of bread because I'm chayim achrayis for it, then all of a sudden I'm chayim. But hektish, it's not a loaf of bread in the first place. It's not the kind of chametz we're talking about in the first place. Hektish is a different chefza legamri. Hektish is mufka legamri. Hektish is mufka legamri. Then even if I manage to have a relationship with it and make a shtickle relationship with it, it's still hektish, right? No matter what I do, it's still hektish. And therefore, Kabbalah Sachrayis and Hektish be ikaron is potter, because hektish is mufka v'mali rabbi matzei. Kabbalah Sachrayis and goy be ikaron is chayav, because chametz of a goy is not mufka. It's just not mine. But if I make it a little bit mine, then I'm chayav. That's what I want to claim. I know this is against what it says in the Gedolei Achronim. This is a noopshot. But I think that there's a noopshot that has precedent in other areas of the Torah, in other areas of halacha, and therefore might really be pshat in our sugya.
Just back to the spot for a second. What you're saying that we really work with all their shalom bar nachav, just can't take into account their time after the Shalom Messiah? In other words,
no, because in Daf Vav, you're saying he can say in Daf Vav that we're talking about the Nachri part is when we're talking about the Kabbalah Christ. Maybe there is even a Shmir for a Nachri, right? Not 100% Mefurish. That's what you want to say is this, is that somehow in Daf Vav, both the Nachri and Hekdish are where I like took something in some circumstance that implied a Christ. Just by the Nachri, I do have a Christ, by the Hekdish, I don't.
Yeah.
Just work out a clever scenario to get that to work, and that's how the Slach will answer. I was assuming, no, this was a Christ, this was a Christ, this without, this without. You're saying, no, maybe this is with, this without, and find the right scenario where this would be with, this would be without, if you hold that in general, the Shmir for a guy, that's easy. Maybe the other option, you'd have to come with something clever, because don't say I agreed explicitly, because I agreed explicitly with Hekdish also. And don't say he forced me, because then it's not two parallel cases. Okay, you have to work it out. Maybe. I'm Moda. Okay, that's what I wanted to say. That's my personal opinion about the relationship between Hektish and Guy. Again, if you think there's merit to it, then you can believe it. If not, then you have lots of other acronyms.
Add something, Rebbe? The end of the Pnei Yoshua, I talked about the difference that by a goy, no matter achrayas, not achrayas, if you do something, you're going to end up having to pay. By hektesh, if you have chametz of hektesh on Pesach and you burn it, you're not chayav. So what's the concept of achrayas of chametz on Pesach from hektesh?
Did he say that? I thought he was contracting Jew and Goy, not Hektish and Goy.
Yeah, but you can, the same thing, you can make Hektish, you should be exactly like a Jew. That you, what the Achrayas on Pesach is meaningless. You don't have to pay for it.
He's not talking about Achrayas, he's talking about whether you can burn it. I can't burn Chametz of a Goy, because they'll sue me. I can't burn Chametz of a Jew, because he won't sue me, because... what was he going to do with chametz basically anyway? What if I burn chametz of hektish? Can I burn chametz of hektish? It's still funny. Like, I still have no right to burn chametz of hektish. That's still mazik hektish. I think it's still an aveira. So I'm not convinced. He's saying that.
You're burning something that's that doesn't have any value, even to hektish.
That's not true. It does have value to Hekdesh, because Hekdesh is allowed to save it until after Pesach and use it, right? There's no Chamash Alot Pesach for Hekdesh. So that's why I'm not convinced. Meaning for Hekdesh, it does have value. For a Jew, it doesn't. For Hekdesh, it does. They save it until after Pesach and use it.
Maybe it's related to the difference in the nature of Bailus between a Goy and by Hekdesh. That by a Goy, you're Chai Bachrayas when it's Bachrayas, because basically it becomes your Bailus in a certain sense. By Hekdesh, even Achrayus doesn't make it into your Bailus, because there's no real Bailus for Hekdesh in the normal sense.
I hear what you're saying. You're saying there's some fundamental difference that, now it's a little, still a big Kiddush to say it makes it like my Bailus in some sense, but I hear what you're saying. What you're saying is a fundamental difference, or the fundamental difference is not within the nature of the Ptur. The fundamental difference is that it's shy to say by Hekdesh. You know, it's shy to say by Goy, like, I'm a partner in this when I have Achrayas. It's not shy to say that by Hekdesh, because Hekdesh is very exclusive. Okay, I think that's definitely possible. You have to be Ayin, but definitely possible. Okay, I want to go weiter to the next Tosos. To a little further in the Gemara. Let's go a little further in the Gemara. Says the Gemara. Amar Mar, Ein Li El Benochish Loki Vashto Ve'Ein Shore Imach Bechotzer. Nochish Loki Vashto Ve'Shore Imach Bechotzer Minayin. We only know a guy who you haven't subjugated and doesn't live in your chotzer. What if you have? You subjugated him, lives in your chotzer. Tamalom Lo Yimatze. Okay, now what's this talking about? The context of this is lo yimatzei, that it's also taking cotton from a guy. So I only know it's also taking cotton from a guy who I didn't subjugate. How do I know it's even also taking cotton from a guy I subjugated? It's ridiculous.
Of course, Kalshkin is also taking thunder from a guy that I subjugated, so he's even more in my control. Whereas says, Kapi Laya, which direction is this going? It's going backwards. Okay, Rosh says it means which direction is it going? Rinchal says, isn't this going backwards? Same thing. So Amar Abai Eitbach, Abai says switch it around. What it means is, I only know it's also taking me cutting from a guy I subjugated. How do I know it's also taking me cutting even from a guy I didn't subjugate? Tamar Lo Malay Matze. No, whatever's Matzu is Usser. Okay, but we don't pass like Abai, generally pass like Rava. Again, here it's not a machlok from Sa, it's a machlok in Parshanot. But still, what does Rava say? No, it's going on the ratio. I only know there's a heter of guy if you didn't subjugate him. But if you, how do I know there's a heter of a guy who I subjugated? So Talmud Lomar lo yimatze. That matter a guy even if I subjugated him. Hold on, we're looking for a heter. How do I know there's a heter a guy even though I subjugated him? So why is it according to possible yimatze, which is an answer, anything you found in my house is asur? No, it's really learned from the fact it says lacha twice. I want to say lacha twice, where there are three lachas. The Gemara later on explains that one of them is for chametz, one of them is for sa'or. That leaves us two lachas. And the two lachas are trace in they to be matter a guy who I didn't subjugate, and even to be matter a guy who I did subjugate, that I'm allowed to have as chametz my house without a price. Okay, the Rishonim are all, not the Rishonim, the Rashi, and the other Rishonim are bothered. How can we say Kafshul Chalav Chatri Zimni? Doesn't the price say Kafshul Chalav Chatri Zimni? There are many answers. You know, if you look at the brackets here, you'll find all the answers. Okay, I left out the Sefer Yetzirah. There's another answer, but I'm not going to go over them now. Okay, Rashi gives one adequate answer. He says, no, what it means is, says the Rashi here, that, where's the line that Rashi says, what it means, there's two lachas, so therefore we say lo yira lacha and lo yimatze lacha, and that's why it really comes to lo yimatze. Where's lo yimatze lacha? Even when it's matzah, because you subjugated the guy and you have control over it, still, if it's not lacha, it's matzah. Fine. Okay. Now, first of all, did anyone notice machlokes in Rashi and the Rach within Rava? Okay, within Abaye, I don't really, there's nothing interesting in the Rishon. Within Rava, first of all, what's the Havmina? Let's get the Havmina. What's the Havmina of Rava? The Havmina of Rava is that without a Achrayus, right? Chametz shel goy shekivashto is aser. Chametz shel goy shelo kivashto is mutter. Right, that's the Havmina. And the Masnan is that they're both mutter without a Achrayus. Why in the Havmina would it be mutter? Would it be aser to have chametz of the goy shekivashto in my house? I got interesting.
Like yours.
Just give me a second. There seems to be a machlokes to be shown him whether kivashto and shor yimach b'chatzer are two cases or one. Rashi says it means two cases. Kivashto and shor yimach b'chatzer. He explains kivashto. He doesn't bother explaining shor yimach b'chatzer. Okay, Ben Hanan, all the others sound like it's one case. Well, let's stick with kivashto for now. So one answer based on Rashi in Abaye, based on what everyone says in Abaye. Why? One answer is, as Rashi says, if you subjugated the guy, it's as if you own whatever he owns. I know, maybe technically not. But, if you subjugated him, then whatever he owns practically belongs to you. So that was the happening, that practically it's considered like yours, because he subjugated to you. Kamash won, but it's not totally yours, not really yours. Meaning, he subjugated him, you could take his money, he can't say anything because you oppress him, etc. But really, it's his money. We don't mean an Evid Kanani, who's Yad Evid Yavrava. We just mean someone who's subjugated, politically subjugated. So we all know when rich people politically subjugate poor people, they steal their money. But it's not really their money. Okay, that's based on Rashi. Why do I say based on Rashi? Because Rashi didn't say that in Rava. Rashi said that earlier. So one is, but I think this is the mainstream shot. Mamono kimamoncha. Right? Al Pi Rashi, Mamono Kimamocha. And that is what Rabbi Yochanan also says in Abaye. But what does Rabbi Yochanan say in Rava? Does he say the happening in the Asr is because Mamono Kimamocha? Because you can destroy it, right? Because, or, it doesn't really. What is the Lashon? Let's see. You can't stop him from bringing the chametz, right? You can stop him, right? You can't stop him. Okay. What is it? Can't stop him? Meaning you can. You have the ability to prevent him from having chametz there, right? He's in your chatzer and he's subjugated to you. You can make sure he has no. You can stop him, as opposed to a regular guy who you cannot stop. Yeah. You can't destroy. Why can't I kick it out of my house?
No, you can't destroy it. No, but I can. But here's what I'm with you. Meaning,
you think the having here is like seeing anywhere?
That doesn't sound good.
Is shari b'chatzer. Question is whether shari b'chatzer means that it's in your property. Right? Meaning, you're right. If a guy who didn't subjugate is in your chatzer, what do you mean? He has a lease, he has rights. You can't just tell him what to do. You can't just kick everyone out. They have a lease, they have rights. You ever try kicking out a tenant? No? And there are two ways to kick out a tenant. There's the illegal way, which is a little easier, but if you want to legally kick out a tenant, it's very hard. So I hear your taina. Okay, I hear your taina. But it could be also that even if he's in your chatzar, he has a lease, he has rights, he has a chazaka. So, interestingly, this Rabbeinu Chananel reminds us of what? I think reminds of the Mechilta. What does the Mechilta say? Mechilta says, how do we know a guy's coming to your house is mutter? The Bavli says, because of lecha. The Mechilta doesn't make any drasha. It says, Batechem teaches us that your coming to the guy's house is mutter, right? Because it's not Roshusa, but based on Roshusa. And then it says, without quoting a raya, it says, Chayotza chemcha shal nachshu b'shus Yisrael, v'chomet shenafel v'mapoles, afi shibreshuso v'liyochel v'aru. Chomet v'goyin y'reshus is like chomet buried by an avalanche. It has nothing to do with who owns it. It's mutter because you're not in control to destroy it. You're not in control of it. That's the day of the Mechilta. The day of the Mechilta is that the retour of chomet shal goy is because you don't have the power to destroy it, and therefore the Torah didn't want to. The Torah couldn't make you responsible for things that are not in your power. So that's unfair. In a kodesh baruch hu b'mitzrayim yel b'yosam. Things that are in your, not only that, but if something's in your power and you don't destroy it, then you're really liking it. You're desiring it. You're being machshav it. If something's not in your power and you don't destroy it, then you really haven't done anything so bad. You know, like if I don't destroy things that are not in my power to destroy, it's not like I'm preferring them. It's not like I want them. So, says the Mechilta, the Patur of Goy is based on the fact that you don't have the right to get rid of it. You don't have control over it. Not based on the fact who owns it. Based on the fact that the Torah is only mechayiv you to get rid of chametz, that is, you have the power to get rid of. If you take that back to the Bavli, then you get the Havin of Rabbeinu Chananel. Now again, this could only be the Havin. It could be the time we get to Maskana. We reject this, but at least the Havin of the Bavli, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, is reminiscent of the Mechilta. Lanias Daitir put the Shemin Chanal together with the Mechilta. Two different Havaminas. Here, the Havamina is that it's, or the Havamina is that the Isser depends on Bibles, But a person may say, no, no, at least Bahav Amina, the Isser depends on the power to get rid of Chametz. And in that way, it's like the Mechilta, says the Hesher of Chametz Shel Goy is like Mapolis. It has nothing to do with who owns it. The Hetter of Chametz Shenafel Mapolis, L'chora, is not because of who owns it. It's because, again, you could have said a million different reasons. But L'chora, it's not because of who owns it. It's because, and according the truth is, according to the Bavli, the Hetter of Chametz Shenafel Mapolis only after you did Bittul. It's not really Hetter Midaraisa, it's only Hetter Midarabanan. After you did Bittul, the Rabbanan weren't Mechayev you to do Bedika. But according to the Mechilta, obviously, Hetter of Mapolis, Midaraisa Hetter. Is because the Torah is only mechayev you to get rid of and to not have chametz that's under your control. Whatever's beyond your control, the Torah is mevater. Again, one of two ways. Either the Torah is mevater because Torah didn't want to be unduly burdensome, or the Torah is mevater because the Torah doesn't want you to like chametz. If you can get rid of it and you don't, then you like the chametz. If you can't get rid of it, then you're still blah, neutral to the chametz, and the Torah didn't mind that. But whatever it may be, that's the interesting havamino filarach. Two different ways of the havamino. Okay, lamaskana. Maskana, even that's mutter. Okay, could be maskana. There's no difference between the Rach and Rashi. We don't know. Okay, interesting two ways of the half amina. Now let me ask Tosfos this question. Ask Tosfos to Rashi Shom. Tosfos asks the obvious question, right? Basically the same question as Tosfos points out in the end. Same question, parallel question as Tosfos to Rashi Lavol, right? The two Tosfos in the sugya are basically asking the same question about two different hidden tendencies, right? How come in Chametz, according to Rava, you need two mi'utim to remind the two kinds of guys, subjugated and unsubjugated. But in Kolotar Kula, everything's about going Kolotar Kula. Every single halacha from Orach Chaim through Yoredeya, through Evan Ezra, to Kosh Mishpat is my guy. And you never need two mi'utim to be my subjugated guy and unsubjugated guy. We never heard that by Hala or by Bechor, or by, for that matter, by Onah, or by, you know, by anything. We never heard that there's a difference between a subjugated guy and an unsubjugated guy, right? So how come that by Sakhim, you need two mi'utim for two types of guy? But in Kolotar Kula, there's only one mi'utim. That is Tosos's question, right? How come there's only one miut here, unlike Kolotar Kula? Okay, so I think according to Rabbeinu Hananel, that's not really such a good question. In Kolotar Kula, the patur is not based on whether you have control over the situation. It's just a patur of bitless guy. So therefore, a guy is a guy. I mean, if you don't know how many monotum amomcha, Kolotar Kula, the Torah is based on bailus. Okay. A guy is a guy. There is no havamina monotum amomcha. But in Psa and Bal Yorlai Matzeh, at least in a havamina, the Torah isn't bailus guy. The Torah is, ein lecha, what's his lashon? Yecholes. If the Torah is based on Yecholes, then that's different. No one thinks the Torah of a guy from Shumas or Maestros is because we don't have Yecholes to take off Trumas or Maestros. No one thinks that the Torah of a guy from Chalas because we don't have Yecholes to take off Chala. No, it's a Torah and the guy is Pater because of his Bibles. However, here it's a Torah of Yecholes. So maybe according to Rabbeinu Hananel, it's not such a hard question, right? Lefi Rabbeinu Hananel, it's not such a hard question here, at least Bahav Amina. The Torah is Yecholes Lemnoah. If the Ptur is Yecholes Lemnoah, then I have a mean as only an unsubjugated guy is Chametz is Potter, but a subjugated guy is Chametz, I have Yecholes. Here, the Ptur is Bailos. And therefore, in Bailos, what do you mean two kinds of Goyim? Either you're a guy or you're a Jew, because you're subjugated or not. Again, we're not talking about Evid Kanani. You know, it's very nice that some sociologist and historian will say, oh, these people are subjugated to those people. That's very nice. You know, obviously, in our postmodern era, by the time you get through it, everyone's subjugated to everyone. Or, you know, however it works out. somehow it always ends up that everyone's subjugated to the Jews. The only difference is if you're a radical right-winger, then all the white people are subjugated to the non-white Jews. And if you're a radical left-winger, then all of the blacks and browns are subjugated to the white Jews. But okay. But even in the old days, some people are really subjugated. But who cares if you're subjugated or not? You're still your own person, your own legal entity. You still have the legal financial status of a human being. Okay, so I think Lafida Rein Chananel is not so difficult, but most Rishonim didn't say like Rabbeinu Chananel, and therefore they were concerned about this. So what does Tosos answer? What does Tosos answer? In the name of the Rosh Mishans, right? That means we expect to find the Rosh Mishans, and Tosos Rosh Mishans, we do. What? Exactly, which is that's also the answer, and that's also my answer to the previous question, right? That's really, it's all the same, right? It's all the same. Here, you need two mi'utim for two kinds of goyim, and that's a giloy on kol haTorah kula. Here, you would need two miyutim, but you have a giloy milsa from Sachem. Okay, why did the Torah choose to put the giloy milsa here and not there? Oh, that's not a valid question. The Torah put it someplace. You know, then he says that also is our first question. Really, you need two miyutim for goy and hektish. However, the Torah made a giloy milsa once by challah. Okay, why did the Torah choose for challah? I mean, it's not Hashem had lots of cheshbonos, and you had to write the Torah, had lots of factors going into how he wrote every word, and it worked out there, right? And you also need two miyutim for two kinds of goyim and kol Torah kula, subjugated and unsubjugated, but a gilui milsa one place is enough, and here the gilui milsa happens to be in Pesachim. Okay, no real difference whatsoever. And then there's Rabbeinu Tam and the Baal Amor. Rabbeinu Tam, by the way, is also quoted in the Rosh Mishans and the Tosfos Rosh here, just not in our Tosfos. But I put this Sefer Yashar on the sheet, on the Makor sheet, just because I guess it's the original, more original Rabbeinu Tam, and it's on the Bar Ilan, unlike the Tosfos Rosh and the Tosfos Rosh Mishans. What does Rabbeinu Tam say? Rabbeinu Tam and the Baal Amor, who are very similar, different some of the details, but the Ikaron, they're similar. What does he say in one word? Why here do you need two miyutim and there you don't? Two words? So he says, really, one miyut suffices. Really, one miyut is enough. So why over here do you need two miyutim, two lachaz? So he explains, he kills two birds with one stone.
Because you have l'rabos. There are two. Because of the problem of l'cha l'rabos.
You're
going to get to an Isur.
Yeah, okay. But you're a little backwards here. You're true, just a little backwards. Meaning, a little backwards meaning the right answer, just the other half of the right answer. Says Rabbeinu Tam, there are two questions on this Gemara. One of which is an answer. One of which is answered by Tosfos, according to Rashi Shans, and one of which is answered by Rashi here. One is, why do you need two miyutim for two kinds of goyim? Culture really only need one miyut. The second question is, if Rava says that double miyut for goyim shekivashto is l'cha l'cha, why does the Bryce say it's lo yimatzi? So Rabbeinu Tam, the Malmor say, we'll answer, right, it's always better to answer question with question, right, to answer two questions at one fell swoop. He says, no, that's what we mean. What we mean is, if it just said l'cha, it will be my old goyim. L'cha is my old goyim. But it says yimatzi. To be marred by whatever's matzoi to you. Once it says yimatzi, we have a havamina that yimatzi is marred by whatever's matzoi to me. And if the goy is subjugated, then it's matzoi to me. Right? I have access to it because the goy is subjugated. Again, whether I have access to it by being a nice person, by being a not nice person, I'm not sure, but I have access to it. So, therefore, you need the second l'cha to counteract the yimatzi and to tell you that even though Yimatze would sound like it's Asrin Goy Shekivashto, the other Lucha counters the Yimatze and Matters Goy Shekivashto, so really 1 meter is enough. But since Yimatze ruined it, you need a second miyut to counteract Lo Yimatze. And you can't just skip Lo Yimatze and Lucha, because you need to know there's an Isra Kabbalah Sachrais. Right, if it only said l'cha once, you would matter all goyim, even kabbalas achrayis. If it had only said l'cha and yimatze, you would have asked kabbalas achrayis and goy shekibasto. If it had only said l'cha l'cha, then according to here's the difference between Rabbeinu Tam and the Baal Amor, that if it only said l'cha l'cha, Rabbeinu Tam says you would have asked all goyim because ein mira for mira elul the rabbos, you would have asked all goyim. And according to Baal Amor, if it only said l'cha, if it had said l'cha l'cha, only said l'cha l'cha, you would have asked goy she also ein mira for mira elul the rabbos k'tas, you would have asked goy she kidashto. Right? So therefore, it needed to say these three things. Again, just l'cha would have mattered all goyim, even with achrayis, not good enough. Just yimatzeh would have answered all goyim, not good enough. Just l'cha, one l'cha and yimatzeh would have answered achrayis and goy shekidashto, not enough. Just two l'chas, according to Rabbeinu Tam, would have answered all goyim, cancel each other out. According to the Baal Amor, would have answered goy shekidashto, not good enough. Therefore, you need two l'chas and a yimatzeh. And therefore, Rava says the second l'cha was matter goy shekidashto, which is true. And the Bryce says yimatzeh was matter goy shekidashto, which is also true. If either of them were missing, we would have asked for Goy Shekivashto. Okay, that's what he says. It's only needed, you only need a second miyot to counteract Lo Yimotse. And that's why it's different here. Okay, yes? Correct. The Mechayim is not by this. The Mechayim is a being in Yerushas, similar to what the Achronim conclude from Rashi. We just don't know what the Maskan is. Correct. Absolutely. Okay. Now, I just want to point out that you could read this Rabbeinu Tam in one of two ways. Or maybe you can't. I don't know. Anyway, you could read this as very technical. Okay, technically, there are two deyos in the Baal Tosfos as to why we need two miyutim. Either we always need two miyutim, but this is the gilui for every place else. Or we always don't need two miyutim, but since we need to counteract the different limud, we need two miyutim. It's just on a very technical drusha level. But I think also could be that Rabbeinu Tam's saying something very fundamental here, which is, and this is the way I would say it, on the, and maybe you can say this even without Rabbeinu Tam, or maybe you can say it with Rabbeinu Tam. Let's even say it without Rabbeinu Tam. Here's A, B, C, right? Okay. D. Yeah, there's a fundamental difference between chametz and everything else. Yishlomar for the following reason. Everything else, whether it belongs to a Jew or a guy, belongs to a Jew is mutter, is usher, or chaya, belongs to a Jew is potter. Not belongs to a Jew is chaya, belongs to a guy is potter. It's all about whose bailus it is. Shalom al Yisrael, Bechor is a bailus, everything has a bailus. In by Rabbi Motze, what's a little tricky about it all being about bailus? Because what's tricky about saying, oh, the bailus of a Jew is what's ushered by Rabbi Motze? Is there really bailus of a Jew?
No, it's not his.
Shnei dvarim einam su shlom, asana kasagilu bershuso. Meaning maybe the difference is asana kasagilu bershuso. Maybe that's the difference. Every place else, there's real bailus. Real bailus. Jew, guy, shalom al Yisrael. Right? There's Jews, there's guy, and you don't need multiple limudim. But over here, there is no bailus of a Jew. It's ainu b'shu shalom, b'shu shalom, b'shu shalom. So what does that mean? Really, there's never bailus of a Jew. Just the Torah made it b'shu so because you have a bailus-like relationship with it because you have a financial connection to it. Whoa, once the Isser was never bailus, but was your, right? This is what I keep calling the subjective nature of Bali Rabbi Matze, right? Why do I keep pushing the subjective nature of Bali Rabbi Matze? Not Stam as a Shtus, because it's really not objective to start with, because Einu B'Shush Lo Nasana Kasa Ge'ilu. So why is it Asana Kasa Ge'ilu? So, you could say Asana Kasa Ge'ilu. No, the Torah just made a fake Ge'ilu bailus, but follow all the rules of bailus. Say, no, it's not your bailus at all. But since you have a connection to it, which is similar to bailus, therefore the Torah made it ki'ilu b'rshuso. Okay, once it's ki'ilu b'rshuso because of your connection to it, now all of a sudden it makes sense that if you only had one l'cha, I'd be a stam guy because you have no connection to it. It's in my house. but I have no financial stake in it. But a goy shekivashto, maybe that's also a song called Sekila Rishuso. It's not mine. Mine is also not mine, the term Sekila Rishuso, because it's worth money to me, because I could use it. So a subjugated guy is not mine, but it's worth money and I could use it, so maybe the Torah also made Kila Bershuso. I think there's a very pasha, you know, again, Tosos obviously didn't think this direction. Okay, but, you know what, if I really wanted to be like that, I would, like, go through every region of the world till I find some diuk about someone didn't say Tosos and then say this is their Shita. We'll skip that. We'll just say, you can give a different answer. You could say, over here, there is real bios. But by Pesach, it's just asoa kasov ki ilu bershuso. Now it makes a lot of sense. If it's just that asoa kasov ki ilu bershuso, it's not about bailus. It's about my financial stake in the chametz. It's about my. It's about whether the chametz is significant to me. It's about my subjective connection to the chametz, not about the objective bailus over the chametz. Then it makes a lot of sense. And if I want me, my chametz of a guy that I don't have a bailus-like relationship with. But chametz of God that I do have a bailus-like relationship with it is like chametz of a Jew, which is only a bailus-like relationship, and I'm chayev. And therefore I'd be chayev. And another lacha says no. Even though he's subjugated, but since Jews are nice people, and we try to respect the rights of subjugated people also, so therefore, I don't really have such a strong, I have such a weak financial stake in this. It's only financial stake if I take advantage, etc. That doesn't count as financial stake. And it could be that you could unite this with Rabbeinu Tam of the Balamor. After all, what does Lo Yimotze mean? Lo Yimotze, in the context of this, Bryce says Asrin Kabal Sachrayas. What's the point of Lo Yimotze Asrin Kabal Sachrayas? What that means is that even though it doesn't belong to me, since I have a financial stake in it, I'm Chayiv anyway. And that's basically what I'm saying, what Rabbeinu Tam and the Balamor are saying are very similar. What they're saying is that, I wouldn't have said this on my own. But once Lo Yimotze teach me Kabal Sachrayas as Chayiv, that proves it's not about who owns it. It's about what my connection to the object is. And then I have a connection to the object. They don't mean lo yimotze, since the technical limud, it would ruin another technical limud. They mean it's lo yimotze. I was saying, even before lo yimotze, I know einam b'shusha shel adam. And we're being talking about more saying that, you know, you could say, no, I could have had different theories, but lo yimotze teaches me it's not about real bailus. It's just about a connection. And therefore, I have a subjugated guy is also a connection. So I think that what I'm saying is not far from being Tom and the Balamor. It's different. But I think that even though, okay, so today is the day when Rabbi Binnarsh likes to say some things that he does, things that he doesn't have a mucker for in the Rishonim. But I think if I have a mucker in logic, then that's a heter. No, I mean, that's basically the Balamor. Yeah. I'm just saying that I would have said it even before the Torah said that. Okay, but it comes down to the same thing. Correct. Okay. That's about all you have to say about Goyshe Kivashto. Now I want to go back to the original point of the Braisa. Rabosai. What was the original point of the Braisa? We're forgetting about Hekdesh. Let's think with Chametz of a Jew. Even within chametz of a Jew, the Braisa has what to say. As a matter of fact, that was talked at the beginning of the Braisa. What was the Chavad say? We would have thought it's only Yerah, not Matman. Right? Forget the donuts. We would have thought it's Hetman. No, Yimatze, even Hetman is Osir. We would have thought only Batim is Osir, but not Gvulin. No, Lo Yerah B'chol Gvulecha. But we would have thought they're two different. No, he says the Exer Shabbos or Sa'or, that just like the Batim, meaning, what we have thought if we only had the Pesachim? If we only had the Pesachim, right? If we didn't know this Braisa, or if we did, we only read the first line of the Braisa, we would have thought there's two different lavim, which taka there are. There's one lav called Goyim Matzi, which means in your house, you can't have any Chametz Matzoi even hidden away. There's another lav, Lo Yira, which means in your backyard, you can't have visible Chametz, but you can hide your Chametz. You can hide your Chametz in the backyard. So come Sa'or to tell us, no, just like in your house, you can't hide the chametz, or Pekdonos ben Anachar, but leaving that for now. Likewise, in your backyard, you can't hide the chametz, right? Now, we want to know in the end, what is included in the lav of Lo Yirah? In the end, clearly something changed, except for the opinion, weird opinion of the Achirim in the Ritva. Clearly something changed. some lav applies to more than it sounds. The Gzereshava tells us that one of these lavim, at least one of these lavim, applies to more than it sounds like it applies to. Right? Because somehow hiding my egg yard, which is not Yimatzei Vateichem, and is not Yirav Kol Gvulecha, is still Asr. So which lav is expanded and which lav is not expanded? So here we have four opinions in the Rishonim. I mean, there are only four theoretical logical possibilities, one of which is impossible. What are the four opinions? So how do I put this in the board in the clearest fashion possible? Give me a second. Okay, let's do this. Baal Yirae, Baal Yimatzei. What are the different cases we can have? Here we have Batim, Nira, and Tamun. And here we have Gvulin, Nira, and Tamun. The Ritva Kolti Yesh and Achirim, right? We're going to put this first because, you know, first let's get rid of the idea that we don't like. Okay. The Ritva, the Shem Achirim. What does the Ritva say in the name of Achirim? He says, Baal Yirae means it can't be Nira. Anywhere it's Nira, Batin, or Gvulin is Baal Yirae. Baal Yimatzei means it can't be in your house at all. So Baal Yimatzei means anything in your house violates Baal Yimatzei. Anything Nira violates Baal Yirae. If it's near in your house, you violate two lavim. What if it's near in your backyard? Then that's Mutter. Again, I mean Mutter. It's obviously also Midrabanan, but it's Mutter Midaraisa. Okay, says this. What's the only problem with this? What's the only problem with this Ritva? It says in the Ritva here that the editor pointed out. In our Gemara, it says Mefurish not that way. It says Mefurish in the Gemara that Tamalam is Orsor, etc. There's Bal Yatman Bigvulin. Okay, what does the Zachir and the Ritva do? It's very strange. You know, you sort of wonder, like, given that, you know, we don't know who wrote the Ritva here. We don't know who his Zachirim were. You know, maybe his Zachirim were Nachrit. No. But you know, it could be the Zachirim was just a someone who didn't know how to learn. It's a little weird. But already, this Ha'ara that you have that you know, Lefanina Bigmara Tanya, the head, you're not that way, already hints Lefanina Bigmara. Okay, that's Lefanina Bigmara. The Shutnat Vaz says, it must be Zachirim had a different Gersa. And their Gersa did not extend Hatmana. Their Gersa said, just like in Batim, you can't take Mikdonos from Nachrim, in Gvulin, you can't take Mikdonos from Nachrim. And just like in Batim, you can have Chametz of Gagadah Achrayas, and in Gvulin, you can have it Batim. Meaning, why is this not a crazy Gersa? Again, we don't paskin like it. If you paskin like this, you're a reform rabbi. But it's not. First of all, it's against our Gemara. So the Ritva says he must have had a different Gersa. Okay, I mean, you know, it's a little cheap. You can always say he had a different Gersa. But it's not crazy. Why is it not crazy? Because according to this Gersa, the only thing we learn in the Gzeira Shava is Pikdonos of Nachrim and Chamichol Nachri, Kabbalah Sachrayis without Kabbalah Sachrayis. Everything else we don't learn in the Gzeira Shava. Why is that not crazy? Because the difference in Nira and Tamun is in the Pshat of the words. Yimatzei versus Yirae. The difference in Batim and Gvulin is in the Pshat of the words. The difference in the Goyim, that's not in the Pshat of the words. Lo Yirae Lecha, Pshat of the word has nothing to do with Nachrim. That's just, you know, Lo Yirae Lecha, you shouldn't have. Yimatzei has nothing to do with Goyim one way or the other. That's Drushas the Alma. So Drushas, we use the Gzereshava to equate Lo Yirae Lo Yimatzei. They both apply to Goyim with Kabbalah Sachrayis. They don't apply to Goyim without Kabbalah Sachrayis. But the Pshat of the words of Nira, Nimsa, Batim, and Gvulin, that a Gzereshava doesn't overwrite. Okay, that's a radical sheet of this Ritva B'Shem Achirim. I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't put too much faith in it. And again, given that no one's willing to own up and put their name on the Shita, you know, we treat it with a grain of salt. But that's one Shita. However, the other, and no one agrees with this, right? This is a very radical sheet that we don't pass it like. The other three possibilities are all quoted by Rabbeinu David, fascinatingly. It's interesting. Most of the Rishonim don't bother to say which way they hold in this, unless you notice that they did. Even the Ritva, when he first quotes the Ra'ah, before the Acherem, it sounds like I know what he's saying, but he's not 100% explicit. So, let us look at Rabbi David. Rabbi David has three possibilities. So, Bagi Ra'e, and Bagi Matze, Bagi Ra'e, Bagi Matze, Bagi Ra'e, and Bagi Matze. So, what happens? What are the three possibilities? I'm going to go in order of Rabbi David, not in exceptional order, but it says. So, in other words, what do we learn from Zera Shava? What does the Zera Shava teach us? For this year is only about Chamei Shalmachri. Nothing about Yimatzei B'vateichem and Yirah B'chol Gvulecha. Nothing about the Pshat of the Pasuk. Okay, the first day in Rabbi David says, now make sure I get this right, says that Akati Islanisha Rachim Tmatum Omishim by Rabbi Yimatze Tarvaxi Batim, Valamur U Big Vulim, Aino over Elamisham, Baye Ra Big Vulin, Lok Siv, Lo Yimatze. In Gvulin, there's only Baye Ra, in Batim, there's both. What is he? This is Rabbi David. First shot. What did he say? In Gvulin, there's two Isurim. In Gvulin, there's one, in Batim, there's two. What does it mean? Means lo ye ra'e is in Gvulin. Lo ye ra'e means any place near Gvulin, and ye ra'e is lavdavka. It doesn't mean it's seen. You know, on the one, here's an interesting question. What does ye ra'e mean? Does ye ra'e mean to actually see?
Do not see or do not be seen.
It's visible? Now, what does visible mean? Now, visible as opposed to hidden? Maybe visible as opposed to invisible? You know, it's interesting though. What if something's locked in a closet? Is that visible? I don't know. How you look at it. After all, you could open the closet. You know, what if it's locked with three locks? You know, and only I have the key. It's not visible if I unlock the key. What if it's buried three tefachim deep in my bedroom? It's also visible if I dig it up. So he says, Nira is lav davka. What do we learn from Xer Shava? That not Nira, but Yerah. It doesn't mean only if it's seen. Whether it's seen or hidden, that's visible. It's you could find it and see it. Bani Matze means only Bateicha. So, in your bias, there's no difference between Nira and Taman. In your bias, there's two lavim, Gvulecha and Bateicha. In your backyard, there's one lav. It's not Bateicha, it's Gvulecha. Okay, now everything's usher. That's fine. Halacha. Second shot of Rabbeinu David. Is that what does the Gezeirat Shava teaches us? That everything is covered by everything. Right? That, I know one lav is only houses, one lav is only nira, both lav apply to everything. Everything's lav davka. Right? Yevra'e is lav davka. And Vateichem are both lav davka. Yeah, when it says like let's say Vateichem, we learn from the Gezeirat Shava that Batim is an example of anywhere, of any property. And when it says Lo Yira, we learn Nira really means an example of just being there. But Yira doesn't mean Dafka Yira, it means don't have Chametz anywhere. Yonimotze Vatechem doesn't mean Dafka Batim, means don't have Chametz anywhere. No matter where you have it and how you have it, you violate two lavim. Okay, the third time.
Rebbe, is that the way Rashi was learning the Sugya?
I don't know. Do you have a diuk how Rashi was learning the Sugya? I'm not sure. I don't really see the problem. By the time Rashi gets to the Gezeirat Shava Sa'or, what does he comment? Tam lomar v'chuli. That's it. On the maskana that Sa'or, remember, we're talking about Sa'or, Sa'or. Not until now what we think. I know what we think until now. What we think until now is the Ritva B'Shem Acher. But what does Rashi think Tam lomar Sa'or, Sa'or means? Or says Tam lomar v'chuli, and later on we'll discuss the Goshik Gashka. So I don't know too much in Rashi, but what is Rabbeinu David himself? Rabbeinu David Atmo, what is he himself? He himself thinks a third possibility. He says no. He says, lo ye ra'a means only if it's nira. If it's nira, it's lo ye ra'a. If it's not nira, then it's not lo ye ra'a. Lo ye matse means everything. In other words, what do we learn from the gzeirah shava? We learn that atechem is lav davka. The truth is that this actually is the best in the pashup shot of the Gemara. Because what is the lashon of the Gemara in the gzeirah shava sor? Nemar sor bebatim and nemar sor begvulin. Just like the sor of batim, you violate by rabbi matse and bal yatmin. Likewise, the sor of gvulin, you violate by rabbi matse and bal yatmin. Just like in batin, you violate by rabbi and bal yatmin. In gvulin, you violate by rabbi matse. That's with rabbi Yehuda with maskana. What does he say? That in batin, you violate by rabbi matse, and in gvulin, you violate by rabbi matse. There's no difference in batin and gvulin. Never said there's no difference in nira and mutman. Just says no difference in batin and gvulin. So this flows from the simple pshat of the Gemara, which says explicitly, in gvulin, you violate lo yatmin. So if in gvulin you violate by yamatse, oh, it says when we're supposed to take him. Must be we learn about take him from Dafka. And in gvulin you violate lo yamatse. It never says in tumlin you violate lo yamatse. Just says in gvulin you violate lo yamatse. So I think the simple pshat in the Gemara would support Rabbi Yehuda himself. I mean, that's why he says it. That's why he says it. Logically, there's the only four possibilities, right? Either we expand neither lav, or we say Balyra is even for Taman, or we say Layotzavatech is even for Gulen, or we say both. Okay, yes.
I haven't thrown up my head around why Rabbi number one is any less against the Gemara than the other.
Because he admits that everything's usher, that it's usher to be Taman and Gulen.
Well, meaning.
He admits it's usher to be Taman and Gulen.
So, meaning, just to clarify that when the Gemara says Nahavamina, the Havamina is.
That it's but to be Taman and Gulen.
And the answer is not that it's Bechlau by Yimatze.
But that's Bechlau by Yirona. Oh, it says in Gvulin you violate by Yimatze and by Yatmin. No, it means that in Gvulin, if it's near of a Taman, it's Bechlau lo Yirona. I understand. The words of the Gemara works much better for Bindam's Maskana. But the content, the token, the substance of the Gemara works fine. It means, but it's saying you violate no matter, even if the Chametz is hidden, you're violating Gvulin. That's what it's saying. Even Taman violates in Gvulin. Simple pshat is even Taman buys in Vulin because of lo yimatze. He said, no. What it means is even Vulin, Taman is Bechlau lo yirayah. What does it mean by lo yimatze? It means, you know, Pictonus of Goyim is a violation. Taman means Taman, but it could be because of lo yirayah. Yeah, then we learn from the Gzer Shabbat. Exactly. That's what we learn from the Gzer Shabbat. That yirayah is lavdavka, that the Isser of Yirayah applies to Taman. Right? That's what we mean. The Isser of Yirayah applies to Taman. And according to him, no, the Isser of yimatze applies to Vulin. Right? That's, I mean, just saying in different words. Right, Bal Yirah applies to Taman versus Bal Yimatze applies to Gvulin. I don't know why I wrote this, it's just the same exact thing in different words. Versus both. Bal Yirah applies even to Taman, and Bal Yimatze applies even to Gvulin. Okay, which way does the Rambam hold? Okay, we're not going to get to everything.
Before the Rambam, Rebbe, yes. Rashi and Daf Chof Aleph, Rashi and Daf Chof Aleph,
Hold on. I don't see why you have a right to do what you just did. There are two things that we haven't discussed yet. Rambam and the Rambam. And I said we're going to discuss the Rambam. Oh. Who says you get to pick to discuss Rashi first? I get to pick who to discuss first. And I pick the Rambam.
Said,
and I pick the Rambam.
You said you want you...
Okay, we've covered everything but Rashi and the Rambam. Okay, I pick the Rambam. Why do I pick the Rambam? Because I'm here. I'm on this side of the desk, I get to pick the Rambam. And as a matter of fact, I'll make a deal that I'm correct, because in the Makoro sheet, the Rambam comes before Rashi. Okay, so therefore I'm objective. Now, what does the Rambam hold about this? The Rambam has to hold like one of these four deals. There's no other possibility. How does the Rambam hold? So clearly, what is the Pashup shot of the words of the Rambam? Like which of these opinions? Which this deus is what the Rambam actually seems to say very explicitly. What? Exactly. What does the Rambam say? Listen to the words of the Rambam. Ready? What does the Rambam say? Everyone please listen. Chomet shel Yisrael. Again, we're not doing Goyim now.
even Taman. Right? Chametz of Yisrael in your Rishos, he didn't say in your house. Chametz in your Rishos, not house, whether house or Gvulin, whether Nira or Taman. Hareza over Mishon lo yira'e ve lo yimatzei. Chametz in your house, even Taman, anywhere in your Rishos, violates by your Rabbi yimatzei. Seems very explicitly like David's second Teah. That each lav includes everything. Ah, lo yira only means nere. No, but because Yerushalayim includes Taman. Even Taman, you violate lo yira ve lo yimatzei. Ah, lo yimatzei only about teichem. No, even Bershuso, you violate lo yira and lo yimatzei because of the Yerushalayim. And the what's the problem? No one would question that for a moment, except for the fact that the Mizrahi had a kasha. Sign at religious Zionist movement, Rabbeinu Eliyahu Mizrahi, who's famous, I think most famous for his Pirush on Pirush Rashi on the Torah, but he also wrote a commentary on the Smag. He wrote notes on the Smag, and he talked the Smag is like the Rambam counting mitzvos, etc. And on the Smag, he asked the following question. The Rambam has a big yesod in the ninth shoresh, right? There are shoroshim before the Sefer Mitzvos. The shoroshim are about how you count, right? It's very difficult to figure out what the 613 mitzvos are because it's all a matter of what counts and what doesn't count and how you count, what counts as two, what counts as one, etc. So what counts, what doesn't. So the Rambam has a whole bunch of principles as to what counts, what doesn't. One of them, he says, in the ninth shoresh, is that repetition of the same iser twice doesn't count as two lavim, only counts as one. Therefore, he says, even though the Torah tells you not to eat treif fish many times, it only counts as one. Even though the Torah tells you not to eat treif birds many times, it only counts as one. Even though the Torah tells you not to be mechal Shabbos a gazillion times, it only counts as one. The Gemara says in Makos that achal nemala your loke arba and the potisa chamesh and the Sira Sheish, if I didn't mix them up, all different kinds of creatures. Trade creatures, if you eat them, you get 4, 5, and 6 malchus. Doesn't that seem to mean, why? Because, this is a flying bird, the Torah says 6 times not to eat it. This is a fish, the Torah, tree fish, the Torah says 5 times not to eat it. This is a tree bug, the Torah says 4 times not to eat it. Doesn't that mean that if it says more than one time, it counts as more than one Isser? So the Rambam, I mean, this he doesn't say in the Shorash test. This he says in the Sefer Mitzvot. When he gets there, the Rambam explains, no, that's not true. Achal potisa lo nemala lo ka'arba is because it actually falls into 4 totally different categories of different isurim. Right? It happens to be this kind of it's the animal. It happens to be a different kind of animal. It happens to be a third kind of animal. It happens to be a fourth kind of animal. Those are all 4 different kinds of animals. And likewise, the potisa happens to be 5 kind of animals. The sira happens to be 6 kind of animals. What are those 5 kind of animals? Okay, he deals with it. Animals for fruits. It's an animal for fruit. It's also an animal from the land. It's also this. Okay, but if it says the same thing twice, meaning if it says, oh, like some things are A, B, C, and D. Another lav for D, E, F, and G. Another lav for D, Q, Y, and Z. And you eat D, you get 3 malchus, just 3 different lavim, because each of them cover different things. Even though they all cover the namala. But if there's one lav, don't eat A, B, and C, and another lav, don't eat A, B, and C, it only counts as one. Otherwise, it wouldn't be 613 lav. Otherwise, it would be 3,000 lav. Okay, and the Rambam says that you don't get multiple malchus, just as it says it many times. So ask the Mizrahi, how come the Rambam says you get malchus for Rabbi Matzeh twice if they're both the exact same thing after the Gzeirah Shavah? So, answer the Kazamish, he says, well, the Rambam never said you get malchus twice, maybe you only get malchus once. And then Gazmir says, but that's not answering the question. The question for you is Malkus. How can the Rambam count it as two lavim, Reish and Reish Aleph, if they're really the same thing? How can you count it as two lavim if they're really the same thing? So, there the Kesem Mishnah gets stuck. And the Kesem Mishnah gives a very dochuk answer. What's the Kesem Mishnah's dochuk answer? His dochuk answer is that the Rambam really holds like Rabbeinu David. He really holds there are 2 different lavim. One applies only to nireh, and the other applies to any chametz that exists, whether it's nireh or tamun. Once there are 2 different lavim,
Okay, again, what if one lav is completely included in the other? Okay, you could say in the Rambam, as long as they're different, even if one is within the Venn diagram of the other, can still count as two. We'll grant the Kesemesh to that. The only problem is, that's against the Lashon of the Rambam. What he's saying is that Tamon only violates Bal Yimotzei, not Bal Yirah. The Rambam said, Afilu Tamon, Hareza over Mishim Lo Yirah V'lo Yimotzei. It's against the Rambam. So the Kesemesh says, and here I think it's Bedocha Gadol, says, no, the Rambam doesn't mean whatever I listed here violates by Bal Yimotzei. He means, if you have Chametz Yirashos, or it's Mufka B'yad Akum, or it's B'yaracheres, or it's Tamon, you violate potentially Lo Yirah Bal Yimotzei in different cases one and different cases two. That's called a stunning batani. He didn't mean Taman violates by Rabbi Yimotzei. It's Taman is a list of cases, some of which violate by Rabbi Yimotzei, some of which only violate by Yirah. It's a very dochic shot in the Rambam. And even though he seems to have a good raya from the Rambam, the Sefer Mitzvos, the Rambam says, Mitzvah Reisha lo Yirah Chametz, and Mishnah Reis Aleph, Mehi Motzei Chametz Mishuseinu. It doesn't show by Yirah, only applies to Yirah. And Bal Yimotzei applies to any chametz found in your house. But I'm not convinced by this Raya of the Kesem Mishnah. Because look what the Rambam says at the end of Sefer Mitzvos. He says, V'sham is bar, but it's including the Gemara, ki yilmad kol lav min ha'acher zulas eni mashim orlov. Each lav is learned from the other one besides what it actually says. Yeah, I know the Rambam starts out saying this is nir and this is nimza, but then he adds, you should know that each lav includes more than what it says. So I think that the Sefer Mitzvos means the exact same thing as the Mishnah Torah. In the end, the two lavim are coextensive. They both apply in the exact same cases, which is all cases. One says nir, one says nimsa. That's why the Rambam has to add in Sefer Mitzvos. And you should know that Gemara learns that each lav includes more than it just than actually says in the words. So, I have a lot of trouble accepting the Kesef of Mishnah. Lo nir alani is daiti, that the Rambam holds like Rabbeinu Dovid, that there's a difference between the two lavim. No, that's a duchup shot. The Rambam, you can't pull a Litzdad and Gatani on the Rambam. Litzdad and Gatani is what the Yamarayan do to Brises, right? Because Brises don't have to be written Kipshutam. Brises can be written in a way that you have to use the methodology of Drash to decipher. Okay, why? That's an interesting question that has to do with, the unique status of Brises and Mishnayos, as something in between Torah Shavasav and Torah Shabbat Peh. Which is not for now. But the Rambam Mishnah Torah? The Rambam Mishnah Torah is not written so you have to darshan it, so you have to say Neinu Inyan, and let's start them Katani, and this and that. No, the Rambam wrote the Mishnah Torah. Shuto Kamashmo. He said what he meant, and he meant what he said. I don't accept these kinds of Mishnah. A, even though it sounds like from the beginning of Sefer Mitzvos, but the Rambam takes pains to add the Sefer Mitzvos. In the Gemara Pesachim, it says each lav really includes more than I just said. Okay, and in Sefer Mitzvah, he says, "Afilu Taman Over Lo Yirah Lo Yimotzei." You're going to say he didn't mean it? I have trouble with Kesef Mishnah. I think the Rambam means what the Rambam says. If the Rambam means what the Rambam says, then you still have the Mizrahi's Kasha. Are the two lavim the same thing? So I think the answer is going to have to be the Rav says this also in his own way, but the Ebn Uzzel already said it. That it's not a fair comparison. The Rambam, they have to be a brisker. What did the Rambam say? The Torah says, don't work on Shabbos, don't work on Shabbos. It only counts as one because they're the same thing. If the Torah says, don't eat trey fish, it only counts as one because they're the same thing. So, practically, the Torah says, lo yirah, lo yimotzei, and zera shavas or saor, they're the same thing. So they should only count as one. But there's an obvious difference between them. Don't work on Shabbos is actually saying the same thing. Don't eat trey fish is saying the same thing. Over here, it's saying, don't have chametz nireh and don't have chametz nimtza. Those are two different things. Al pi gzera shava, they apply in the same cases. But here's what it means to be a London. Just because two things apply to the same cases doesn't mean they're the same thing. Don't work on Shabbos, don't work on Shabbos. What if I work on Shabbos? There's one thing wrong with what I did. I worked on Shabbos. It's just something that's so bad that the Torah said it multiple times as a chumrah. But it's only one thing wrong with what I did. If I eat a tray fish, there's only one thing wrong with what I did, but the Torah said it twice to show you that it's very wrong. But if I have chametz in my house on Pesach, there are two things wrong with what I did. It's nireh and it's nimtza. Even if it's hidden, it's nireh because I could look at it whenever I wanted to, and it's nimtza. I know those two things all apply to the same case, al pi gzeres shava, but they're not the same thing twice. They're two different things that happen to apply to the same cases. two different Isurim that happen to apply in the same cases is not the same as the same Isur repeated twice. That would be as if the Torah said, don't eat tray fish, and, you know, don't, I don't know, the Torah says, don't eat, I don't even know what the example would be. The Torah says, don't work on Shabbos, and the Torah would say, you know, don't forget my sabrishus. And Chazal would darshan that every time you work on Shabbos, you're also forgetting my sabrishus. Every time you forget my sabrishus, you're also working on Shabbos. But they're two different Isurim. They might apply to the same cases, Al-Pitrush, Al-Pitrush, Al-Peh, but they're two different problems that apply to the same case. And I think it's shot in the Rambam. What is the Rambam saying? The Rambam saying there are two different things wrong, not the same thing wrong repeated twice. Two different things, which Al-Pitrush, Al-Peh apply to the same cases. You know what? Al-Pitrush, Al-Peh, a lot of things apply to a lot of cases. That doesn't mean they're the same thing. And I think that's Pashup Shana the Rambam. The answer to Rashi's question is that these two lavim might apply to the same cases. That doesn't mean it's the same thing repeated twice. Maybe you have to get to Tamei Mitzvahs to appreciate this. We don't have to say what the Tamei are, you know. But there's two things wrong with having Chametz when I have Pesach. Number one, Chametz is nimtza in my house. Number two, Chametz is nira in my house. Those two things wrong might apply exactly the same cases. Either both of them apply or neither apply. There's no case where only one of them applies. They are the same on the outside practical non-lumdish level. But in the conceptual inside, they're two different things. It's also to have chametz nira, which means even hidden, that's called nira, because I can uncover it. And it's also to have chametz nimtza. They might apply in the same cases, but there are two different things wrong with having chametz on Pesach. It's not like eating tray fish, or working on Shabbos and working on Shabbos. And that's why the Rambam counts it as two. I think that's pashut. It's pashut. That's pshat in the Rambam. Again, you know, with hopefully the Mishnah is Mochel. I think it's pashut. That's pshat in the Rambam. It has nothing to do with Shorash Chi. Shorash Chi is about Mamash saying the same thing twice. Now there are two different things that happen to apply the same cases. There's one thing wrong. There's chametz that's nimtza in my house. That's bad. And what does nimtza mean? Okay, nimtza comes to include, you know, things that I have financial stake in, Kabbalah Sachrayas, etc. You know, maybe, although that's going to tie in something a little later. You know, maybe that has to do with my caring about the chametz, my stake in the chametz, etc. Then there's something that comes in nearer in my house. Okay, maybe that has to do with that I'm going to come to eat it. Maybe it has to do with the fact that it could be seen and not be the proper the proper atmosphere for Pesach. Whatever it may be, there are two different things which happen to apply the same case, and that's the whole point of being a lamdan, is that you don't look at when they apply, when they don't apply practically. You look under the hood and say, what is the Isser? Being near and being nimtza are two different things, and that's what the Rambam meant to say for a mitzvah. One Isser is being nira, one Isser is being nimtza. And then his bar begemara, that you learn each one zulas mashum more love, besides what it actually says. Meaning, they both apply in cases beyond what you would think. But there's still two different things. I think that's Pashup Shat in the Rambam. Okay, we resolved the Rambam. We'll have to leave Rashi for next time because the hour is already super duper duper late. So we'll come back next time to Rashi Mirtz Hashem. Just what are we going to do until I send out the Makoros? For next time, we're going to go in the Nora. Next time, we'll spend 5 minutes on Rashi. I mean, unless you fight with me, it'll be 15 minutes. And then we will learn about Kabbalah Sachrayas, which means the Gemara until the fourth line of Daf Vav. With Rashi, there's no Tosfos. With the Rush, with the Meiri, with the Rambam and the Ravid in Perek Dalet al Hadalet. So again, the Gemara through the fourth line of Daf Vav. Rush, Meiri, Rambam and Ravid in Perek Dalet al Hadalet. And the very, very fascinating Ketzos. And Rebbe Chanan, the Ketzos in Siman Shin Pei Vav. The Ketzos about our Gemara in Siman Shin Pei Vav. I forget if it's called Zion. There's only one Ketzos in Shin Pei Vav that quotes our Gemara. And Rebbe Chanan, who responds to the Ketzos right here in Os Yud Zion that was already that we mentioned earlier today. Okay, and I'll maybe fill in a few more things and send out the Makoros later at Mirtz Hashem. Okay, if anyone has questions, feel free to ask. If not, you are released from the extraordinarily eternally long shir.
Are they?
Yes.
Is the pshat that you're giving in the Rambam based on the two different lishonot, lo yira'eh and lo yimatzeh?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. I will wish everyone a great Shabbos then, and I'll see you, Amir Tzashem, next week. Yes.